welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. 1-866-901-ADAM. You can call us anytime. Whatever Tad writes about you up there. Oh, Tad's not there. Sorry. Whatever gets written, look, if it's interesting, we'll talk to you no matter what the topic we're on is. So that's how it goes. Feel free to call in at any point. We'll ask for your phone calls at certain times, but other times you call in if you have something on your mind. It's interesting. We'll get to you. So what's on today? We got Rolling Stones tickets to give away. Ozzy's going to sing some Stones lyrics. You're going to guess. Dave's Jerk List, special Tuesday edition. The original district attorney from the JonBenet Ramsey case is going to be on the blower to fill us in. It's a Bob Grant. Yes, it's a he. He doesn't, I don't think he believes that John Carr's guilty. We have Drunken Tree mascot, ultimate fighting champ Chuck Liddell saw his huge billboard as I was driving into work this morning. And sports news, much, much more.
Do you think that... what's his name? The Ultimate Fighter. I'll have. What's his name?
Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell.
What's his name? Oh, he's going to give me a whipping when he comes in here.
Mike Birbiglia, comedian's coming in here too. Sorry. Go ahead. Yes, Dave.
I can't wait to tap into his brain to see what he thinks about this JonBenet business.
I'm sure he'll shed some light on it.
I got to tap into your guys' brain. Just clear this up for me. Is Ultimate Fighting when you can basically just do anything to any guy in the ring?
Almost. Yeah, you wear these little, like, 3-ounce gloves, which aren't much more than those sort of weightlifting gloves or golf gloves. I mean, there's really no padding to them. And I think you can do everything, no gouging.
Like gouging out your eye. I couldn't.
No, like if a storm hits and the guy needs some plywood.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Thanks for clearing.
I'm not, it's unclear. I'm assuming they're talking about gouging. You know,
no gouging.
You're selling generators off the back of a truck after Katrina blows through. I'm assuming.
Do that.
Yeah, no gout. There's no gouging, and there's no groin strikes, meaning you wouldn't arrange a bunch of your friends to picket in front of someone's sack.
Right.
I'm assuming, again, that's what that means as well. No gouging, no groin strikes. Unclear about the elbows, and other than that, no doing what Damashek does to Bruska's ear every day at noon, straight up come hell or high water.
That's for pleasure.
I'm on a groin strike right
but
now.
But still can bring a man into a submissive position. I've seen Bruska try to tap out many times, to no avail.
I own him.
You can kick, you can hit, you can...
You can do everything.
But it's, I'll tell you, I gotta say, it's sort of like, it's disappointing when you hear, like, oh, you can, no holds barred, you can do whatever you want. It's sort of like the BattleBots. You always think like, oh, robots that fight each other. That's going to be awesome. And then you see and they just kind of like run into each other on the ground repeatedly. Like what? It's just like.
Yeah, well,
you know,
what
one thing, it, this is, they just lay on the floor and roll around, apparently, is what it looks like.
The thing is yeah, first off, we've seen too many movies. Too many depictions of guys picking guys up over their heads and then tossing them 7 aisles deep into the stadium and that kind of stuff. No matter what kind of shape you're in, first off, the guys are the same size. They're both 180 pounds, they're both 205 pounds, they're both 155 pounds, whatever it is. 180-pound guy can't pick another 180-pound guy and send him cartwheeling 6 things back to land in the lap of Don King. You know, it's always a little. And it also turns out that the best way to beat your foe is a good punch in the face.
Every time.
That just has never really changed. So once in a while they throw a kick or a spinning fist or something like that. But the good old, and this is what Chuck Liddell does, good with the hands, just whack the guy in the head. And if you're wearing almost no glove, there's a good chance he's going to get dizzy. And then you can whack him more.
We are deceived by our years of watching Andre the Giant pick people up over his head. When in fact, Andre the Giant,
only thing he could lift was a beer stein. Sad. All right. What was I going to talk about? Real tough cookie?
Yeah. No, hit me with your best shot.
Oh, hit. Yeah. And the tough cookie part works.
All good.
All right. I wanted to talk. Oh, there's something I wanted to do, too. Brusket, you're going to want to hear this. He's leaving. I was watching Entertainment Tonight last night, and they had John Carr in there with his 5-stage mullet playing an acoustic guitar at his buddy's wedding. It's got to be great for his buddy, seeing the footage from his wedding.
You
this
think
guy
that might
playing.
Doom the marriage?
Yeah. First off, is I started thinking there must be old footage of me with a mullet. Because every time, I never had one, but I'm convinced that if I committed a crime and they pulled some video from the late 80s, there'd be the Ace Man with a huge mullet. Somewhere doing in a thin tie, doing something horrible and embarrassing.
With a blazer and the sleeves rolled up?
Thin tie, mullet, yeah, sleeves rolled up on the blazer, or worse, pulled up.
Yeah.
Not even rolled up, just the sleeves slid up like a guy pulling his dingling out of his foreskin. That was basically that look. It's a nice look. Yes, I never, my hair, the advice I will give to my young child, do not change your hair. Do not, because they always go back and they get those pictures. And I don't care if it's in style or not, especially with the women. We always make fun of guys with the mullet and whatever they had going on back in the day. But the chicks, too. You see Barbara Walters' hair. You see all these news women's hair. They're all over the map. News women have to have the hair of the day because they're on TV every day. So they get their hair done. You know, if you're doing Entertainment Tonight or you're sitting at an anchor desk, your hair changes every third week with whatever the prevailing winds are. Then they go back and look at your stuff circa 1987 and it's a disaster. Best just to have the same hair. One thing I'm proud to say is I've had the exact same hair since high school, so I never get burned.
To be fair, you never had a choice in the matter.
No.
That hair is what it is.
That's right. Like, you've been wearing your pubes the same way since high school.
Correct.
That's the same reason I've been wearing my hair the same way.
And you've been wearing your eyebrow the same way,
okay.
too.
All right, David, you know what?
I'm sorry, that was
an attack. Okay, because some things aren't funny.
You like to laugh as much as anybody.
I do. I think I have as good a sense of humor as the next guy, but that's not funny.
Leave the eyebrow out.
Please.
I take it back. It's back. But the other side of that coin is I agree with you to an extent about keeping your hair the same. But multimillionaires, they stick with it too long. Donald Trump is a perfect example. Like, he refuses to change that hair as though he's Samson. Then if he changes his style, he will lose his
female
mojo.
Gossip columnists don't know when to quit their jet black hair that they've had, you know, since they were in the 40s in high school. It's their thing, too. It has to naturally evolve, but you can't force it into a mold.
Yes.
But anyway, I see him singing, and I see him hit. I don't know if you guys saw the video.
Yes.
It's very ironic, but he's got the big mullet. And he's singing, and he gets a couple strums in on his acoustic guitar. And of course, I announced to my wife, I know this song. It's an obscure song from the 80s. And my wife is natural reaction. She doesn't even look up anymore, you know. And then I announce again, oh, I know this song. Then I have to shame her by playing it again. Do you know this song? Do you know this song?
Oh, you went
Do you back. Know? Yeah, oh, the TiVo. And we were there for an hour and 15 minutes last night on this one thing until she blew up and yelled for me to scream. We had to go back and watch it 6 times. She couldn't get it. Then she had to get on the computer because I can't work it. You got to do my bidding. Get on the computer and find that song. And then it's like, well, what's the name? I don't know the name of the song. I don't know the artist, but I definitely know the song. So I start shouting out different various combinations of the lyrics. And I think she found it. I'm curious if other people will catch it, too. So I told Angie to go find it. We don't have it yet. Don't worry. Okay. Later on, we'll play it and then we'll see.
Do you think this will give clues into his mindset?
I think people will find it very ironic when they hear the lyrics to the song.
Name
and
that pervy tune.
That kind of stuff. Yeah, so we'll play that. And I don't even know if I know the song or not. I just think I know the song. Paul?
This is Paul.
You have a question about drywall?
Yeah, my wife's relatives came into town, and they put about a 6-8-inch hole in the drywall. I've been replacing it with, like, tape and spackle, like, two or three times. It keeps falling apart.
All right.
And I'm just sick of replacing it. Me and her have been arguing over it because she wants me to get it fixed and blah, blah, blah.
Candidate for definitely not a chip. How was the hole put in the wall?
She has two teenage boys, 14 and 16, messing around and pushed the one back, you know, wrestling and put a hole in the wall.
Put his head through it?
No, put like his back kind of through the wall and like, oh, I'm sorry, you know,
right.
We're leaving tomorrow, so can you fix it?
Yeah, they have patches.
And now,
you can go down to the Home Depot or whatever and get these little sheet metal patches that have the little nylon mesh tape things that go over them and just put on top and just skim coat over it. Yes?
Yeah. Yes.
Know what I'm talking about?
Know exactly what you're talking about.
Or you're going to have to just cut back half onto each stud. The studs are 16 on center.
Okay.
So you're going to have to cut a 16-inch hole and put a strip in and go from stud to stud. So here's your two. Yeah?
That's what I was trying to avoid. I just, like, I wasn't, I was going to do that. I was attempting to do that. And she's like, you want to make a bigger hole?
Right. And that's where you show her the back of your hand. Like I do to my woman. I don't hit her. I physically just show it to her. That's enough to deter her. See this? What's that? That's back here. Okay.
Yeah. Let's... Hey, can I name Teresa's vagina?
Sure. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
The drunken clam.
Yeah. Is there a theme or just drunken clam?
I think that's from The Family Guy, is it not?
I don't know.
I think there's something in The Family Guy that... Old. Yeah. Ironically, we could also patch that up with one of those.
Oh, dang.
Now, would you use just the patch, or would you replace the whole panel?
I don't know, but you got the hottest voice on the radio.
Thank you.
All right.
And
so,
hey, love your show, Adam. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Paul.
All your inmate suitors yesterday, we talked to many guys in the joint yesterday who fancy Teresa. Maybe they have some clever names for your vagina.
All I've ever wanted to do is be able to dirty talk and moan. How about the warden? Keeps you in
good
line.
Name. Yeah, I like that.
The hole. That's more straightforward.
So, just to put a fine point on the hole, as it were, either patch over the hole and then skim over it with some joint compound, or you cut back. It's easy. Just take those box cutters,
right.
Those things the terrorists like to use.
Right.
Just drop one of those in there and just cinch along and pull out a chunk and put another piece back in.
The pokey.
Not that big a deal. Rick?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
Okay, you know, I've been listening to you guys, you know, for about 6+ months now. Kind of, you know, I said you, Adam, nobody gets too much TV exposure, so we all know what you look like. And last night I finally went online and checked out the website. And first off, Damashek, I was dead on. I shorted the nose by a couple inches.
A lot of people come up short.
Yeah, I know. And Bruska definitely looks like the East Coast goon he puts himself out to be.
I'm smart.
Surprise.
I'm telling you, I'm no dummy.
But Teresa, you were the main point. I do not understand how you go on these rants. You are beyond gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much.
No, it just tripped me out because you're like, you know, ugly Jew broad, da 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 da. But wow, dark skin beauty. So don't let that get you down.
Oh, thank you so much.
She's a good-looking woman.
She's an Emmy winner. Get off her back, Buster.
That's right.
Remember
thank
that.
You.
She's never
mentioned. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Teresa. I'm trying to think. You know, I don't know what. I'm trying to think how people or women or men react to women and what they think of themselves physically. Because women, that'll work on. You could be an unattractive man who thinks your poop doesn't stink, and women will sort of buy into it and go along with you, and then all you have to do is nail one hot chick and let the word get out that you dated a model, and then that's it. You're in with the ladies. Women, men usually close their ears and open their eyes a little wider, and doesn't matter what she thinks of herself, will tell you whether you're hot or not. But, I don't know, maybe Teresa's fairly self-deprecating for an attractive woman. She certainly doesn't play off her looks very much. Maybe you should talk yourself up a little. Maybe you're too self-deprecating.
You mean if I project more that I'm beautiful, people will respond better?
Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be a little more like Minnie Driver. Not an attractive woman, yet everyone thinks she's hot.
She's convinced
because
the world
she has
she's
a
hot.
She has a nice accent, and people just decided she was hot. I think she started it. She doesn't seem to downplay it at all. Not an attractive woman, really, but yet she's always counted amongst, or at least a few years ago, counted amongst the attractive women for no good reason. As it turns out, no guy's attracted to her.
Well, when I was younger, my mom used to always tell me, you know, Marilyn Monroe, she was a size 14. She wasn't necessarily that beautiful if you broke it down. But when she walked into a room, she conveyed that she was attractive and everyone bought it.
Yes. Yes. I wonder, there are guys that are hurt by this. There are guys that are helped by this. There's women that are that way. I'm curious who's sort of scoring higher than they should and who isn't living up to their full potential. I think, Teresa, you're not living up to your full potential of hotness.
Thank you.
Is going to be a good list. We have to really work this out, the overrated and underrated looks.
Well, you put Eva Longoria at the top of your overrated.
Eva Longoria is a very pretty and cute and attractive girl. She's just not beautiful because she's modest in the cup department and sort of short and photographs well. But if she walked in to the room, not wearing heels and didn't have her hair piled high, I don't think you'd turn your head. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. I mean, if you were at an Outback Steakhouse in Wyoming and she showed up at your table and she was wearing Converse in her smock, you'd go, hey, man, we got a cute waitress. But it wouldn't be any big deal. Like, we got to take you out of here and bring you to Hollywood. Then there are other women like Elizabeth Hurley where you look at her and like, wow, wow, look at that.
Showstopper.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Take a quick break. Mike Birbiglia, comedian extraordinaire. He's been on the show before.
Very funny.
How do I know? Brusket reminded me. He's going to come in a moment. We have news. We have sports. We have Ozzy. We have the jerk list. We got the original... DA from the JonBenet case. Also, my little love song trivia involving John Carr. Drunken Tree mascot, ultimate fighting champion, Chuck Liddell. It goes on and on. And we'll get to it after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
I wouldn't last in the military even if it were much easier than it is. I'd be the worst soldier. I'd be like, you expect me to carry a gun this heavy and run away screaming? I learned all my military training from cartoons, you know? Like, I know that if a guy is pointing a gun at me, I should bend the barrel around so it's pointing at him. If that doesn't work, I should just tie the gun in a knot. It may not kill him, but it'll turn his face black for a while.
Comedian Mike Birbiglia on the Adam Carolla Show.
You can also put your finger in the end of it, too. That'll cause it to just blow back into his face. Good to see you again, Mike.
Thanks, man. I was here in April. You find the most obscure audio clips of me imaginable. I don't even know where that came from.
Well, it was 1989. You were out to dinner with a couple friends. We got first names only. And always funny, as you could tell there.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, Two Drink Mike's the name of the CD out now.
Yes.
Mike, you have some medical conditions I'd like to get into
that we're interested in.
But first, and maybe this is a medical condition, sleepwalking.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I was diagnosed with, I have a variety of sleeping issues. Like, for example, it was like really hard for me to get here this morning because I have a hard time waking up in the morning. Like, when I'm staying at a hotel, I have to call the front desk and be like, can I get a wake up call for 6 a.m., 6:10, 6:20, 9:30, and 1:30 p.m.? And,
for your 5 o'clock show.
Yeah, totally. And I think I have a hard time waking up because my dreams are better than my life. Like, my dreams are so effortless. They're like movies. Like, I want to go to the store. Cut to the store.
Yeah.
Fade to black. Pizza montage.
Right.
And then I wake up. I'm like, I want to go to the store, but I'm still in my bed. And I don't have a car with pepperoni wheels.
What happens in the pizza montage?
What doesn't happen?
He's flipping dough. He's rolling out the sausage. He's eating it from two ends with a beautiful girl.
Pizza last night. Berries.
Where?
Berries? Yeah. Holy cow.
Thin crust?
Yeah, it's on 3rd Street, good. Right? It's owned by the lady who from Raging Bull.
Oh, yeah. I've eaten there. Yeah, you take it. I'll tell you, to me, the guy who likes thick crust pizza. I understand there are some good thick crust pizza. Sure, Gino's East is great thick crust pizza, but the majority of it is bad. And where they go wrong is the dough. So why have so much of it in your pizza? So many opportunities to go wrong. You get the thin crust, you taco it in half, and then you turn it on its side and slide it right into the pile.
I hope you never fall into any of those pitfalls in your pizza montage dream.
In a dream, the crust is always perfect.
Do you legitimately have this condition?
Yeah, and so I have a hard time waking up in the morning, that's for starters. And then a few years ago, I started walking in my sleep. Like, I was living with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and I would have this dream. I started having a lot of anxiety. I'd have this dream that there was like a hovering insect-like jackal in the room. Just to give a little background, she really wanted to get married at the time.
Symbolism.
And for example, I would be on the road as a comic. I would come home, and on the TiVo, there would be like a wedding story, baby story.
Whose wedding is it anyway?
Baby story. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And, like, she was, like, a big feminist in college and, like, didn't believe in the idea of marriage. And then all of a sudden, like, all this stuff. And so I would have this dream, like, that there was a hovering jackal in the room. And I would jump on the bed in real time and, like, strike a karate pose. Yeah. Even though I didn't know karate, I had the books from Book Fair. And I'd be like, Abby, there's a jackal in the room. There's a hovering insect jackal. And she got so used to it, she could talk me down while remaining asleep. She'd be like, there's no jackal in the room. Go to bed. And I'd be like, are you sure? And she'd be like, yes, there's no jackal. And then I'd go to bed knowing that there's a jackal in the room. And that's trust.
Yeah, yeah.
And when did the walking start?
Yeah, so that, well, that technically was the sort of the beginning of it. I remember I had this other dream that, this is where it started to get dangerous. I had a dream that there was a, I was in the Olympics for some kind of arbitrary event like dustbustering, and they told me that I got third place. I stood up on the third place podium, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm new to the sport, you know.
Yeah.
And, they say, actually, you got first place. I move over to the first place podium, and it's wobbling. Adam can see where this is going. It's wobbling. I wake up, I'm falling off the bookcase in our living room.
Wow.
Yeah, and I land on our TiVo.
Wow.
And it breaks into pieces. And it was like one of those stories where people black out drinking and they wake up in Iowa and they're like, oh, no. You know,
right.
It was like that in my living room. I was like, ah, TiVo pieces.
I would be frightened to go to bed on a nightly basis if I thought I could wake up standing, you know, out on the roof of my house thinking I was at the bow of a ship that was cutting its way through the Pacific or something. I mean, wouldn't that freak you out night? I would tie a rope to my ankle.
The thing is it would just happen from time to time when I was, like, really anxious. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I would think, like, maybe I should see a doctor. And then I'd think maybe I should eat dinner. And then I'd forget about it.
Right.
Did you eventually have to go do, like, the sleep deprivation, where they study you and they watch you?
I did all that eventually, yes. Yeah. Well, and I had, that was my ex-girlfriend. We broke up.
Can't imagine why.
No. It was other stuff. She wanted to get married, and then I was too young, and she married somebody else, and he actually lived continues to live in the apartment that we lived
Don't tell me it was the jackal that she ended
with
up
with. The chupacabra? He's in there?
Yeah. Wow. He's there in my bed. So not only did he symbolically take my place, but he took my place. So then my girlfriend now, I had this dream. I fell asleep watching, this is like probably 2 years ago, I fell asleep watching Fight Club, which is not a good pre-sleeping movie. And you know the dream, the part where, what is it, Ed Norton's, they hold down Ed Norton's hand and put acid on it or something?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Lie. Yeah.
Oh, lie, yeah.
No, I'm saying you're a liar. You've never seen this. This is nothing but a joke. It's an elaborate setup. Just please get to the punchline. Oh. We have news. We have sports.
Oh. All right. You're sleeping.
No.
You've watched Fight Club.
Yes, it's a lie.
Enough is enough!
His hand is burned with lie.
And
you woke up with your hand in the...
So I, so I had a dream that was happening to my hand, and then I sprinted out of my girlfriend's apartment, and I threw, like, a bookcase in front of, where I was running so that Brad Pitt couldn't get me. Couldn't catch me.
Well, that's why I asked if you did the sleep.
Cunning.
If you the sleep observation stuff.
I did,
that would be the best stuff to have on video. Of you striking karate poses to fight an imaginary jackal.
No, I did, actually. I ended up having to go.
Did you ever get injured?
I did, yeah. But you don't believe my...
No, I believe
you. I believe
lying,
it.
No, so it's so bizarre. See, to me, it's the specific stuff. You know, that's how I know someone's not lying. This is so specific.
Yeah.
You couldn't be manufacturing.
Did you hurt yourself?
From your,
seriously?
Yeah, yeah. I had a story, and this is when I had to go to the doctor. I was doing a gig in Walla Walla, Washington, which is a place. And I was staying at La Quinta Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will correct me on that. They're like, no, it's La Quinta.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can't force me to speak Spanish. That's not fair. But I was staying at La Quinta, and I fell asleep watching the news, which is not a good idea. I mean, news has just gotten so pachoo, you know, ridiculous with the sound effects.
I think
and
it's more pa-ching. But yeah, yeah.
It depends.
It's either one. It's either pa-ching, couple pa-ching stories and then a pachoo to follow it up or the other way around. But
I fell asleep watching, and it was like North Korea stuff, you know, really scary kind of, you know, nuclear arms kind of stuff. And I had a dream that there was a guided missile headed towards my room. And I was always military personnel in the room. I jump out of bed, and I'm like, what's the plan? And they say, it's come to our attention that the missile coordinates are set specifically on you. And I said, well, that's very bad, because I don't have a plan for that one. I decided, in the context of my dream, that the best thing I could do is jump out my window, because I'm a film buff, and I would save the platoon. You know, if I could jump out the window, I would explode outside the window and everyone would be okay.
Noble.
And yeah.
If you fall out of a window, you'll break your leg. But if you jump out just as your room is exploding, you'll be fine. I've learned from watching movies. If you can do it, in slow motion, if at all possible, you'll be fine. But if you do a thing where anything's blowing up, a bridge, a room, whatever, and you jump out right as it blows up, you'll land, do a quick shoulder roll, and you won't have a mark on you. But if you're effing around on the balcony and you fall off, you'll show up in a body cast the next day.
Mike, which one? Was it the slow motion?
Did you do the slow motion one?
No, what's ridiculous about the story is that there's two details. One,
how inappropriate with Eric Clapton stuff.
It's inappropriate. Tears from
Mike Birbiglia out here, by the way.
I was on the second story of the hotel, and the window was closed. So I jumped through the window like the Hulk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why? Yeah, yeah. I say this because that's how I described it at the emergency room 30 minutes later.
They must have thought you were high.
Can we do the story without sound effects?
I don't think so.
The sound effects, I feel like sound effects are hurting the story.
I can't help it.
And I think they're hurting the credibility of the story, certainly.
Don't mess with the sound effects guy. You will get the crickets.
So you land on what, then? Make it through the window?
I made it through the window. I mean, the thing, I was diagnosed with what's called REM behavior disorder. You might have come across this
Dr. Drew stuff.
Yeah. But REM behavior disorder is where people have a dopamine deficiency. And dopamine being the chemical that paralyzes your body when you sleep. And so if you have a deficiency, then, you know, anything can happen. You can act out your dreams. And you can do things that you wouldn't be able to do in your life normally because you would have too many inhibitions about doing them. Obviously, if you said jump through that window, I would be like, no, thank you.
Well,
it is
interesting that your dreams are supposed to be sort of your life. It's just you're, instead of living it, you're on your bed, but yet you would do things that you would never do in real life. And shouldn't that be a clue? Then you're in your dreams. Like, I always just assume dreaming is there to keep you asleep. I've wet the bed a couple of times because I had to take a wee-wee. I was too tired to get up and hit the toilet, so my mind manufactured one in my bed. It manufactured a scenario where I could actually urinate and never stand up by pretending, you know, by imagining I was standing at a urinal, and in actuality, I was standing next to my girlfriend, or actually laying next to her, you know, with the wee-wee. With her nightgown wicking up the wee. But the point is I always had this theory, like when the alarm goes off and then it gets worked into your dream as the smoke detector in your dream, at your office, whatever it is, everything is put in place so that you can sleep more.
Yes. What Mike has is just a more intensified version where he has so little dopamine that instead of just peeing, you're jumping out the window and Kim Jong-il has to take you to the ER.
What were your injuries? And where did they find you? And do you wake up immediately then upon breaking through the window?
Well, what was remarkable is that the people who have this disorder, it's kind of a mysterious thing. Like, you're able to do physically things you couldn't do, and then your heart rate is unaffected. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, in your sleep, you could run like 5 miles. You wake up, your heart rate is resting heart rate, which is very strange. They don't understand why that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I jump through. I have a habit of preemptively shouting when something traumatic is about to happen. Like if you were like going to punch me in the face, I would just be like, ah,
Yeah, again, maybe from the
he'd
movies,
be like, this is weird, you know. And so I shouted. I was like, ah.
Mm-hmm.
And do I have to wrap the story?
No.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So I screamed, and then I landed, and I kept running outside. And I'm running, and I'm realizing I'm on the front lawn of La Quinta Inn.
I mean, it's La Quinta, but go ahead.
And I was like, oh, no. And I was relieved that I hadn't been hit by the missile.
Right.
I was like
in my underwear bleeding. Like, literally, I had like glass and blood in my hands and in my legs. I ended up getting like, I was at the hospital until like 5:30 in the morning. And, you know, the doctor was like, you should be dead. And I was like, no, you should.
You may never walk in. No, you'll never walk again. would be interesting point of view as a patient to do that. I was thinking we need to take a break. Mike Birbiglia is here talking about dreams. We have many more things to talk to Mike about. But as you were talking about watching the news before you fall asleep and then sort of internalizing the Korean missile crisis, I realize our narcissism is a double-edged sword. Because on one hand, that narcissism allows you to sit and finish a cell phone conversation in a parking lot where 8 people are waiting for your space, which is the good side. Like, hey, screw all you people. It's me. This is the world revolves around me. This is the Adam Carolla Memorial parking lot. I don't even know what these other cars are doing here. I hope they're family members. That's the good part of narcissism. The bad part is when you're watching the news, and because you're so narcissistic, everything that goes on, if there's a serial killer on the loose, I'll be watching the news. It's like, he only preys on female sophomores at Ivy League schools. That guy could be next. I could be next.
Bolt the doors.
Who knows? My house looks a lot like a sorority. He could think I could be in the middle of a panty raid or something, get caught up in it. Like, no matter what you see, whether it's a missile crisis, whether it's the killer bees in South America or bird flu that's coming out of Africa, it's, oh, I'm next. You're sitting in your hotel room and walla walla, but those missiles are fixed on you. That's narcissism, baby. The missiles are coming for Mike.
Yeah,
we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Mike Birbiglia after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? It's your homeboy Jack Silver. Got a hell of a show for you. Party time. Excellent. We're giving away Rolling Stones tickets. Stones, we're not worthy. From the UFC, we got Chuck Liddell and Rochelle Leah. Swing. Hey, this show might suck. And monkeys might fly out of my butt. Hell yeah, late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mike Birbiglia in studio.
All right.
To drink Mike, name of the CD.
Sound effects are helping me out on that one.
Out as we speak.
Yeah, I hope that...
has a sleeping problem.
I hope that one person buys that album and all of their friends have a computer.
Also, we were talking about his harrowing life, sleepwalking, falling out of windows. Also, bear encounters in Alaska.
I had a bear encounter, yeah. I had a fear of bears from childhood. I had this dream that there is a bear walking down the street in front of my house and walking in the front door, which is a scary thing, a bear with opposable thumbs.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
because if a bear can open a door, it's like I'm out, like I don't have a plan.
Right.
Because even if I had a gun, I could be like, aha, and he would just grab it and be like, I have thumbs.
Right.
But so I dealt with this fear as an adult. I went to Alaska. I went to Katmai National Park. This is like maybe two, three years ago. It's the same park that guy died at. From Grizzly Man.
Oh.
And you know, Grizzly Man was obviously not out at the time, but I went, and there's so many brown bears there that they take you when you arrive to what's called bear orientation. You fly in on these bush planes. You know, have you ever gone on one of these, like, six-seater planes? They land on the water.
I don't know, but I'm starting to get a boner, all the bear and bush and all that kind of stuff. I'm sort of half listening, but I'm becoming aroused.
Opposable thumbs.
Keep going, yeah. I like where this is heading.
But they take you to what's called bear orientation.
Yeah, take your pants down. Let me talk to you.
I'll orient you once you're bear.
Yeah. You're going deep in the bush. Here's some utter bomb.
Uh-oh.
And I'm sorry. They orient young bears.
A lot of high and low comedy here on the Corolla Show.
I know is this sounds like a nice opportunity for a blowhard, any kind of orientation, like where they got. Did you have the blowhard guy going, I'd love to tell you you could outrun a full-grown grizzly, but I'd be lying to you, so I'm not going to do that.
I'm not in the business of lying.
And let me tell you something about this. The bear doesn't care about your grandma, your girlfriend, doesn't care how much work you do with the elderly. All he knows is he's hungry. And you got jerky in your pocket.
Is the bear my friend?
Nope. Bear's not your friend. Bear doesn't know if you're Democrat or Republican. He doesn't care how you voted in the last. I like when they explain what the bear doesn't care about. You got yourself a brand new shiny Cadillac in the garage. Think the bear cares? Bear doesn't care about that. Nope. Doesn't care about your sexual proclivities. Does not care about your alliances in the community. The bear does not care if you're single or spoken for. All the bear knows. Like, I'm going to explain all that the bear knows. Yeah, I love that. And if you think you're going to get out of a bear attack by saying, thank you very much, Mr. Bear, but apparently you've got the wrong camper, he will not know. And I can tell you, now I'd love to tell you, I'd love to blow a little sunshine up you and tell you right now that you could take on an 1,800-pound Kodiak, but I'd be lying to you.
Was that about how the guy sounded, Mike?
Nothing like that.
Oh,
but it's very amusing and entertaining and available in CD and stores now. No, they teach you that if you see a bear walking towards you on the path, that you're just supposed to, I'm not kidding at all, just clap.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And make the bear aware of your presence.
Yeah.
You're supposed to
say,
I'm right here, bear. I'm right here. I'm Mike. You're a bear. We're good.
Right.
And when they told me this, I was like, oh, I'll be murdered by a bear, because that seems like dusting yourself with barbecue sauce, you know?
Ooh,
just being
so.
Like, I'm right here, bear. My name's Mike, and I taste fantastic. I've gone to the trouble of applying condiments so that I will be less bland.
Well, you're not supposed to run, right?
Yeah.
If you run, that just triggers them.
Yeah, definitely not. And then, you're supposed to essentially just make them aware, like, I'm right here, like, we're cool. So I went fly fishing with my sister Patty and this guide. And the guide actually was similar to the kind of blowhard character that you're talking about.
If you think you're going to outrun a 2,100-pound Kodiak wearing waders, you are sadly mistaken, my friend. These bears wake up in the morning, first thing they think about is eating fly fishermen, and before they go to bed, that's the last thing they think about. That's all they do. That's all they do. They don't have sewing clubs.
They don't. I run? They don't. Can it outrun me?
You think can you outrun a thoroughbred horse? Because the bear can. The bear does. He's not playing in a rotisserie football league. He doesn't care about who's being traded or who's on the DL. Oh, no. All he doesn't look at internet porn. Hold on. What's that list of what bears don't do again? Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So we're fishing with Adam.
He's not in the bridge club, that bear.
Does he quilt?
He doesn't quilt. He doesn't care about the ozone. He doesn't care about the missile crisis in Korea. All he knows is he's hungry. And you look like a giant drumstick to him.
Yeah.
Now, I'd love to tell you.
We're fly fishing, and I was, like, terrible. Have you ever tried fly fishing, Adam?
No. You know why? Because I think about it all the time, and then in the best case scenario, you pull up 3 pounds worth of carp or something, right? I mean, there's nothing. At least if you go deep sea fishing, you'll catch.
Yeah.
If you do hook up, you'll get a marlin or a bluefin or something. This is like you're holding up a little trout, you know, in 18 inches of water. Who cares?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but I was fly fishing, and I was not catching anything, and like there were literally salmon jumping out of the water, like. They were like, I didn't even know salmon jumped.
It's like you clapping at the bend.
Yeah. I mean, if I were a fish, I would jump actually all the time, because that seems like a fun activity. I would be like, I'm going to go out for a walk, and then I'd grow legs and become a human. And that's actually what happened. Sorry, Christians. But I'm like fly fishing, and the guide feels bad for me because I suck. And so he catches one, throws the rod in my hand, and goes, you got one.
Yeah.
Which really hurt the ego.
Charity.
You know, it was like when I'm at my parents' house, and I install a printer driver on their computer, and then I let my mom click OK at the end.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So I'm fly fishing with this guide, and he's like taking all this special care with me. We're like waist deep in water, that kind of thing with the waders, like mm-hmm. you said. And my sister Patty's like 100 yards behind us, and I hear her go, "Mike." And it was the voice of someone who's about to be mauled by a bear. It mm-hmm. had that kind of mic, mm-hmm. like right here, like she thought that might be a bear. Right here, that's definitely a bear. Like if she knew the whole time, it would just be like Mike.
Right.
But it was like Mike. And I turn around and there's an 8-foot brown bear walking towards her, and he's not running. You know, he's not like I will murder you. It's just kind of like, you know, I'm a bear, etc. Kind mm-hmm. of just walking towards her. And it was my biggest fear my entire life. I built up the courage to say, "Guide, do something."
Right.
And the guide, this is when the guide became like the crazy guy that you're talking about. He mm-hmm. snapped into action, sprinted over, and he was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah." You know, like with horses they do. Mm-hmm. And the bear walked away. He was just like, "All right, you know, I'm a bear, et cetera." Just
right.
walked away. And I was relieved, obviously, that I didn't get mauled by the bear and then my sister didn't. But then I was angry at the guide because I was like, "You didn't tell me about the hya plan.
You just
told me
clap.
To go, 'I'm right here, bear.'"
Right.
It's like he gave me the bad parachute.
Right.
Like everyone gets like the good parachute, and then I have like the multicolored gym class parachute.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this doesn't do anything except build team skills.
Yeah. Which we got the parachute with the gay flag on it.
Yeah.
Be nice, practical Joe. Mike Birbiglia is in studio. Yeah, you know, the thing about, I just think about those animals that are, you know, they're good natured. Everyone always tells you, well, they don't want any trouble and they're more scared of you than you are of them and so on and so forth. And you buy into it and then they go, "But don't run because it will chase you down and eat you." And it's like, listen, I'm a good guy. I don't want any trouble. And if I see some guy on the other side of the street, if he starts running, I don't immediately go into chase mode. I may run the other direction. I don't have to pounce. Like, you know, that's the part of the animal that I don't like. And it's in most animals that you running, which is the first thing that pops into your head, hey, there is a 1,300-pound beast with huge claws and teeth. I'm going to head the other direction as fast as I can go, is the worst thing you can do. I don't know what nature had in mind with that. That the first idea that pops into your head is the exact worst thing to do.
Yes, it's counterintuitive to stand there and clap.
Right. It is very intuitive just to make haste the other direction, which then has the bear or the lion or the whatever, the puma, the whatever, think, well, I was just going to sniff you, but now it's on.
Yeah.
And I'm on top of you. And it's also, it's like when you catch on fire, your instinct is to run around and flap around, which just makes the flames, feeds more oxygen to flames, and you burn up that much faster. It's not to stop, drop, and roll. I just don't like the idea that whatever our first instinct is counterintuitive to what will save your life. It's not a great design, nature or nurture, whether you believe in God or not.
All you have to do, you just go, yeah, at the fire, and you just sit back. So
the other one with bears is they tell you to play dead.
Never.
And that seems like a real gamble, because there's like a bear clawing you in the head, and you got to be like, yeah, I think this plan's working out.
You have to really commit to that role.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm getting clawed in the head now, but I got to be thinking long term.
And everything they eat that's in your car, your picnic basket, is playing dead, essentially.
Right.
The provolone is playing dead. Doesn't mean the bear's not going to eat it. It's not like it's running around or anything. It just seems like something they could eat. It just makes you that much more. You know what? Take it a step further. Don't play to dive into the bear's mouth. That'll confuse it.
Wait, what?
Oh, I don't know. Just trying to make it that much easier on the bear. Mike Birbiglia, we must say goodbye because we're running very late. We've had a lot of fun with you and your bear stories.
It's been fun, you guys. Thanks for having me and putting sound effects to my stories.
Always a good time. Two Drink Mike out on.
They should have a stand like this at the mall where you go and tell stories and they put sound effects.
And Brian makes it all the better.
Sure. I mean, instead of just poking your head through that piece of plywood with the muscle man on the other side, why not have a place where you can tell stories?
It's like glamour shots.
Then I got an erection.
Then what happened?
Well, first I took my fly down.
I'm still
Damn it.
Oh.
Then I got the erection.
How'd it end?
Well, that's how it ended.
And I got mauled by a bear.
Yes.
Wow. All right.
To Drink Mike, name of the CD, Mike. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Key, what's in the news?
Well, if you only hear one thing about John Mark Carr today, I highly suggest you hear the audio that I have of a phone call that he made to a woman here in California, in Sonoma. It is the most chilling, most frightening, most creepy phone call you'll ever hear. I have that and more.
Mm-hmm. All right. And also the song I heard him singing on his acoustic guitar at his friend's wedding. How bent does your antenna have to be if you decide this be a great guy? He's a hell of a best man. I'm going to have him sing with the acoustic guitar at my wedding.
Well, he won't forget the ring. I mean, like, look how he hasn't forgotten JonBenet. That's what the best
tenuous
man does.
We'll take a quick break. 866-901-ADAM. We have some Rolling Stones tickets to give away as well. We'll do all that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It's Osvaldo, Rolling Stone game.
To play, call 866-901-ADAM.
You can win Rolling Stone tickets.
Yep, we got the news, we got the sports, we got the Ultimate Fighting Champ, Chuck Liddell, coming in, drunk and free mascot, already roaming the halls, Dave's jerk list, much, much more. But first, Ozzy, we got some Rolling Stones tickets to give away. I think the concert's in November, November 18th at the Dodger Stadium. We're going to give these tickets away. You're going to have to earn them, though. That's the deal. Ozzy is going to sing or attempt to sing the Rolling Stones song. You're going to have to name the song. So, should we put Craig up first?
Sure.
Craig?
Yes. Hi, Adam.
What's happening, Craig?
Pumping some gas right now.
All right. So, you've arrived.
Yep.
How old are you, Craig?
I'm 48.
You know, I'm going to include you in my Todd name thing. I have a couple friends named Todd. I always say, well, you'll not see your 45th birthday because there's no one named Todd who's in his 70s. No Grandpa Todd or Uncle Todd. There's no guy named Todd who's 89-year-old. No Civil War veterans named Todd.
Oh, yeah.
So, Craig, I'm going to throw you into that pile, too. There's no night. You know, if you're talking to a guy on the phone, his name is Craig, and an 80-year-old guy shows up at your door, you'll be freaked out.
And there's no one younger than 38 named Carl.
That's true, too. Thing. All right. So, Craig, enjoy your last years on the planet. You want to play the game?
Yes, sir.
Well, hopefully you'll be around long enough to make it to Dodger Stadium November 18th.
Yeah, I've been there once.
Should we? Pardon me?
Yeah, I've seen him there once.
You've seen the
Rolling Stones.
You've seen them there once.
Yeah, that was about 5 years ago.
Oh, really? They were there that recently, huh?
I'm not real sure, but...
What do you do? You just pump gas, huh?
No, I'm a sheet metal mechanic.
Oh, I see.
I make parts for the slot machines.
Really?
He's multitasking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
Here's the deal. We're going to play three songs. You got to get two out of three to get the tickets. If he doesn't, then... we move the tickets to tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go, Craig.
All right.
Please allow me introduce myself. I am the man. I weigh my test.
All righty.
I've been around for long years. Stole many a man's soul and faith.
Right. What do you think, Craig? Do you know the song?
Yes, I do. That's Sympathy for the Devil.
Nice job.
Sí, es bueno.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right, do we have another one?
When I am driving in my car, I am man coming in the radio. He's reeling me more and more. I was on cell information. Mm-hmm. Supposed to fire my imagination. I can hear. Oh, yep. No. Mm-hmm. Hey. That's what I say.
Well, he's going to do the whole song. Huh? What do you say, Craig?
That.
Oh, baby.
I know this one.
Jumpin' Jack Flash.
No, it's malo.
No. Come on, he's sitting in his car. Man comes on the radio.
You tell him.
Tell him more and more about some useless information was it drives imagination.
Ozzy couldn't get no pronunciation.
All right. Well, if you get the next one right, you can still go. All right, Craig, let's hear the third.
Boo is all right. Now if I can be the guy. Boo is all right. I am jumping jack fly. He's the gas.
Can he get this one?
Can you get it, Craig?
I can do it. Jumping jack fly.
Perfect. Si, es bueno.
Yeah, hang on there, Craig. We're going to have the title right in the song, huh?
Yeah, it seems like
it's difficult to understand what he's saying, but I would argue if he actually says the title.
Well, all right,
you want to take another one?
Nah, that's it for today. We'll do more tomorrow.
He's a winner.
All right,
he's
we're all winner. Winners. All right, shall we move on with the news and the sports?
Take your time.
Yes.
All right. Brian,
he's got to set up the news clip.
You need to cue some things up. How about the intro? Can you do that?
Waiting music. Yeah.
Well, then I'll kill some time by singing the dreidel song.
Do you know the dreidel song? I would be so impressed.
Yeah.
It starts with dreidel.
I had a little dreidel. I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, oh, dreidel, I will play. Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. See, here's the thing. When you're a white guy and you grow up in the valley, they foist other cultures on you because you don't have one of your own. Or if you embrace your own, then you're racist. So if you grow up with hippies like I did, and you're white, then you're evil, and you have to learn more about the indigenous people and the Jewish culture and whoever it is you've enslaved or whoever's fields you burned and women you've raped. You have to learn more about their culture and how wonderful it is, and you have to hate your own culture. Well, what culture?
No. Worse
you don't have
than that.
One.
Worse than that is, see, the short end of the stick was mine, as a matter of fact, because in second and third grade, I was the only Jew in the class, and so we'd sing Christmas carols, you know, as the holidays approach. Oh, Christmas carol, and then they say the teacher would say, no. Okay, now we have to sing a song for David, and everybody in the class would go,
Not King David class, although he's known as King David around the Damashek household. Everyone put on your plastic yarmulkes. And let's all take time out of our busy schedule.
We'll eat some challah bread. All right, that means you're ready. Oh.
Later on, we'll all eat some uneven bread.
Okay. Are you ready for the news?
I certainly am.
Suspects accused in the alleged plot to blow up U.S.-bound airplanes are in court today for the first time in London. They are facing charges of terrorism. 8 people were charged, 1 released, 11 remain in custody. British officials say that they are meticulously investigating evidence, of which they have a ton, including DNA, fingerprints, chemicals, documents, DVDs, memory sticks, and a number of so-called martyrdom videos.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right, because they gotta put those things out. Yeah, go on YouTube and find those things before the terrorists.
Do you think the Girls
terrorists.
Gone Wild guy might make a compilation?
I'll tell you, that's got to be next.
Terrorists Gone Wild? Okay, closer to home, John Mark Carr, the suspect, self-proclaimed killer of JonBenet Ramsey. He is awaiting an extradition trial this morning here in Los Angeles. He spent last night in a high-security jail. Yeah. He was kept in isolation, not surprisingly, from the other 3,500 inmates there. He met with several lawyers, including the guy who represented him back in 2001 when he was charged with possessing child pornography. It's unclear who's going to be representing him in court today. Some reports say he wants to be his own lawyer. We'll see what happens. I'll have that
always
for you.
Works like a charm.
Yes.
Yeah. It'd be the ultimate, though, if you could represent yourself and then exonerate yourself and then start a law practice on the outside. That'd be the greatest advertisement ever. I was in for triple homicide, but look at me now.
I got myself out.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, there's a woman in Sonoma.
Hold on a second. I want to say this. If I was going into the joint, I would announce in advance that I'd raped a ton of women and a ton of children, and I would pick out all the different races and everything, and that way I'd be left alone when I got to the joint because I'd be in solitary instead of put out in the general populace, in which case you're going to be someone's bitch or get your ass kicked anyway. It's just a matter of time. Why not just announce you're a pedophile when you head in and they'll just lock you up in your own little cell and you can watch your TiVo?
It's good PR for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a woman in Sonoma, California, that claims she was an email pen pal with this fellow, John Mark Carr. Now, she got in touch with the FBI and the Sheriff's Department up in Sonoma, and they gave her the technology to record some of the conversations she had with John Mark Carr.
What year are we talking about here? Recently?
Yes, this is recently. The details are unclear, but this was done with the help of the Sonoma Sheriff's Department. This is a very, very disturbing tape of a phone call from John Mark Carr to this woman in Sonoma. Listen carefully because it is a recording of a phone call. Some of it's hard to hear, but it is disturbing. I'm going to warn you of that.
Sure, this wasn't one of Mike Birbiglia's dreams. Let me just say this. When they record these things, they can't get some decent goddamn equipment. It's always, bear with us, people. This is a recording from what, in the 20s, done on a wax disc? You have surveillance teams, for the love of Christ. Get some decent equipment.
Well, let's hear
the Westwood One.
The woman who recorded this, she was interviewed. Now, there's
recorded
been,
in 1999 or something, right?
Well, it was recorded from a telephone call.
I was calling from a dryer on the tumbling cycle. Jesus Christ. So was he talking about JonBenet?
Yeah, he was talking about JonBenet and how alive she is in his mind and how beautiful she is. Now, there are people who question whether or not John Mark Carr actually knew the Ramseys. This woman who was his email pen pal addresses that issue.
He knew JonBenet's family because his brother worked for the Ramseys, worked for Mr. Ramsey. The Ramseys were having a party. He went to the party with his brother, looked around, he met JonBenet, sat on the stairs with her by her kitchen.
Yeah.
So there's that. Now, I should say that the DA from the original case in Boulder will be calling in. So we'll be talking to him soon about the case.
Yeah, I have some tape too.
Yeah.
I'm now at my wit's end because I heard this. I examined it for an hour and 40 minutes on Entertainment Tonight because I have the TiVo. My wife's going to kill herself. But I heard this clip of him singing at his buddy's wedding circa 1987. And I know this song well, and I can't think of the name of it or who sung it. It's not a band. It's a single. It's a guy with a one-hit wonder. And I think the song was top 10 somewhere in the mid-80s. If you know this song, anybody, please help us. Producer Angie's been on iTunes looking for it for the last 3 days and can't find it. She doesn't know the song. And there's a million songs called I'm Falling or I'm Falling in Love, which is the name of this song. So let's hear it for a second,
okay.
Brian.
Maybe.
It is the latest piece of the darkly strange puzzle that is John Mark Carr to emerge. Home video of the murder suspect taken in 1987 at a friend's wedding in Marietta, Georgia.
One more. All right.
Okay.
One more.
And in another clip from 1987, Carr can be seen singing and strumming a guitar at a friend's wedding in Georgia.
If you know it, please call in.
I'm falling.
I really there was a cover of it in the 90s,
in
if anybody
love
knows.
With you. Maybe it's some Seals and Crofts song or something from the 70s, and maybe somebody covered it and dusted it off in the 80s. Maybe it goes back deeper. Maybe it's a 70s song. It's clear as a bell in my mind, but I can't find the goddamn song. And it doesn't sound familiar to anybody.
Nah.
No.
It was.
It is the.
Kind of has a nice voice.
Once you get to know
and
this,
in another
Jeff.
Clip from 1987, Carr can be seen singing and strumming a guitar at a friend's wedding
that's him singing.
In Georgia.
It's not a bad singer.
I like to think though that he is one of those guys who's like, hey, you know what? My wedding present to you two kids is I'm going to do a song at the reception.
I hate those J.O.s.
Don't feel like you have
to. No, you can get us a vase or a toaster.
But it's my gift.
And in another clip from 1987,
oh, speaking of disturbing,
somebody help me with this song.
A guitar, yes, at a friend's wedding in Georgia.
In love with you. That's the
is
song.
Is it Gary Moore?
Are there any tapes of him doing the dreidel song?
Could be. What year are we talking about there?
I'm looking for a
Gary
year.
Gary Moore.
And so I just did the lyrics, because I'm falling in love with you. It's the easiest thing for me to do. Yes, I'm falling in love with you. It's true.
Is that sounds right.
It's the falling. That's the part where he sort of he takes falling.
Well, there
and
is
breaks
one thing. There's
night.
Yes, I'm falling. I'm falling. I'm falling. Yes, I'm falling in love with you. Falling. I'm falling. I'm
yeah,
falling.
Who?
Gary Moore.
Well, try to find it. It doesn't say what year or whatever.
No.
All right, we'll try to get to the bottom of that.
While you're looking into that, let's talk about some other music which may or may not stand the test of time. Mm. Paris Hilton's album drops today. I'd like to say she's her own worst critic, but she's not. I guess it's no surprise that she loves her new self-titled album. This is a song from it, Stars Are Blind. In a quote from Paris Hilton that's been all over, she says, "I like cry when I listen to it. It's so good." She also says the baby voice she uses on The Simple Life is just an act because she's trying to retain her real personality, which is the only thing she really has.
Yeah.
I like that she moves herself to tears.
Yeah. I cry too, but just usually when I'm emotionally disturbed.
Her dad cried when he saw that video tape.
Oh. Can you imagine being your dad and having to see that? Horrible.
I tell my kids early and often, I will have them put down by Drifter if they try to pull any of that crap. If they try to shame the mediocre name of Corolla, I will have them put down. Put them down like Old Yeller got put down.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell is preparing to take over there on The View, sit in her chair on The View next month. She talked about how she plans to deal with ultra-conservative View co-host Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
You know, I married into a very Republican Southern family, and my in-laws and my, you know, all have the same beliefs as Elizabeth. So I've sat through 10 years of Thanksgiving dinners, and nobody died. I think we'll make it through the first year of the meal.
Oh, well, if Rosie does, or if her ire does get up and she goes after Elizabeth, Elizabeth just has to do this. Hey! 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 You got to clap. Same thing like a charging
like a bear.
Try to make yourself bigger.
What
flap
happens?
Your arms around and clap
if
Rosie
Elizabeth
starts
runs.
Coming at you. Oh, you can't outrun Rosie. I'd love to tell you, son, that you could, but hey, let me ask you this. Can you outrun a speeding motorcycle?
No.
Yeah. Could you outrun a bullet?
Uh-uh.
Could you outrun a thoroughbred?
Nope.
Well, then you can't. I'd love to blow some sunshine up you and tell you it's all just daffodils and tambourines banging in the air, but it's not. Wait a minute. Somebody's on the phone. Mitch.
Hey, Adam.
Please tell me you know this song.
Well, I think it's England, Dan, and John.
Yes, totally. I think it
That's
is,
it?
Too.
I think the reason I remember that is because I think they showed up on a little TV show called James at 15.
Mm. Oh, then we're going into the 70s now.
Yeah, maybe.
You want to sing it with
and
me?
And another clip from
this is England, Dan, and John Forkel.
Man, I'm a rocker.
Strumming a guitar at a friend's wedding in Georgia.
Oh, they repeat it. In love with you, yes. It's definitely England, Dan.
Is it? I'm
yes,
right.
Yes, in Glendale Jim. He later on broke off
Glendale.
And hooked up with a guy named Jim from
no,
Glendale.
I thought it was Compton Cal.
Let me do the comedy here, Mitch.
All
so
right.
You say England Dan and John Ford Coley.
That's my guess.
Yeah, I'm with you. And if it was James at 15, then we're talking about mid to early 70s.
Well, you know I did a lot of things in the mid to early 70s.
Okay, buddy. Listen, when you people talk about the years you did drugs, it's like when people say they were in college. Oh, man, we slammed a lot of heroin and killed a lot of hookers. We were in college. Bill, that was the 60s. Everyone was getting high.
That's right.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you.
Yeah, good talking to you.
What's the name of the song?
All right, just find England Dan. I'm falling in love with you. Let's see. Gone to lady. Find some. Love is the answer. Why is it me? Oh, man.
Now, people are saying it's not England Dan.
I have a hunch that it is this Gary Moore from a record in 1982 called Corridors of Power.
Well, it
the
sounds like.
Match very
it
similar.
Doesn't. Well, I don't know. Let's see. Caller? Well, let's see. Well, I don't know the guy's name.
Oh.
All right.
That's his name.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, T. Wait,
that's
it's
okay.
A different single.
This is
Let me
important.
Try Carl over here. Carl?
Yes. Hi, Adam.
Do you know the name of the song?
I know that song. I used to work for Coast, another radio station that we used to play that song.
Okay. Do you know who sings it?
It's a one-hit wonder by LeBlanc and Carr, C-A-R-R.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Whoa. So it is two guys or two people.
Yep.
I don't hear a woman voice on there, so maybe LeBlanc and Carr.
LeBlanc and Carr.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe it's two people. Maybe that makes sense.
Yeah,
but this guy
wonder.
Said he heard it on James at 15, which would have been in the... Would it be from the early 70s?
Sometime during the 70s, because we used to have that song in the studio, and you used to play it a long time ago.
All right, thank you. What's the name of the song, Brian?
Falling.
Falling. By?
Just falling, not I'm falling.
No.
Just falling.
And the chorus goes, and I'm falling, whoa, I'm falling, I'm falling in love with you.
Okay. Well, there it is.
You heard it here first. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Bruska, you don't even need to give me the short sports sign, because I know I got to be quick, and I shall be. National pastime. Big series going on down San Diego way between the Dodgers and Padres. Daddies took game one last night, 4-2. They've now won 9 of the last 10 against the Bums. Unbelievable.
Wow.
And this one brings them within 3 games of the Dodgers in the NL West. So this, they play, and then they have to go after this series, they have to go to the Valley of the Sun. Critical time for the Bums and for the rest of the NL West. Meantime, up in San Francisco, Barry the Creep hit number 725. Gigantic shut out the Snakes, who flew in on a plane from Arizona. Junior Circuit, Athletics beat the Blue Jays in a slugfest. Then the Blue Jays had a slugfest in the outside of the dugout, in the hallway to the locker room, between the starting pitcher, Ted Lilly, and the skipper, John Gibbons. They
nice.
Threw the fisticuffs. This, about 6 weeks after John Gibbons, the skipper again, challenged Shea Hillenbrand, who's now with the Gigantics, to a fight, and Shea Hillenbrand turned him down on it. Apparently, Ted Lilly not so shy about it. The skipper fighting people.
Well, the thing about being a baseball player is you have to think to yourself, wait a minute, this guy's a baseball player. He can't fight. I've seen the films. These guys can fight. And then halfway into the fight, you must realize, wait a minute, I'm a baseball player too, and I'm getting my ass kicked.
Well, in Bull Durham, very important lesson, you don't punch with your catching hand.
Right.
See? Learned a little something.
Good point. I'd like to talk about T.O., but I have to preserve him for a little something called the jerk list.
Oh, really?
Yes, there's nothing I'd like to talk about more, but he's up to his old shenanigans. But Brian Gumbel in a lot of trouble with the NFL right now. You know, he's supposed to be a part of the NFL Network broadcasts coming up this season. But he gave a little advice to the best name commissioner that I've ever heard, Paul Tagliabue. Tagliabue's on his way out. He gave advice to Roger Goodell, who's replacing him. Have Paul Tagliabue show you where he keeps Gene Upshaw's leash. By making the docile head of the players' union his personal pet, your predecessor has kept the peace without giving players the kind of guarantees other pros take for granted.
I have him toward the middle of my all-black blowhard team, which I'll unveil at some point.
I hope this vaults him right to the top of the list.
He's going to have tough time knocking off Spike Lee and Maya Angelou, but he's definitely nipping at their heels.
Is that appropriate to talk about another black man being in the leash that's held by the man?
Inappropriate.
I think if you are black.
Yeah, you're allowed to say whatever you want. That's right.
Outrageous talk. That's that.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we need to take a break. Chuck Liddell still coming up. Drunken Tree mascot still coming up. Also, the original DA from the JonBenet case is going to be calling in from Colorado. And God is my witness, will play this song. I'll get to the bottom of this and play the song that John Mark was singing. John Mark Carr was singing when he was at that wedding in 1987. We'll do that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
I have a modest portfolio of both money market accounts and traditional stocks.
Oh, keep talking, baby. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, as promised, now I've become obsessed with this song that John Carr was singing in the 87 wedding with the mullet and the six string. Well, we have it, but we only have 30 seconds of it now, so we're going to have to keep working on it. It's evidently harder to find than I thought, although I'm almost sure it was a top 10 song at some point. Now we've shifted to the early 70s. Bob Grant is on the phone. Bob Grant...
He'll know all about this song.
...is the former district attorney. He helped investigate the JonBenet Ramsey case. Do we have something, Brian?
He'll be there in a minute.
All right. Bob, because we have to prioritize. Bob?
Hey, Adam, how are you?
Good to have you on the show.
You betcha.
So,
I don't know that song at all, as a matter of fact.
You don't? How old are you, Bob?
I'm 58 years old, but I, you know, never used to listen to the radio.
Let me tell you how many conversations I've had that have gone this way. Oh, you know that song, right? No, I don't know that song. Oh, yes, you do. No, I don't. And then I start singing it, and then they say, now I really don't know this song, and I have a headache, and I go, oh, yes, I promise you, you know this song. Where I have to explain to people they know stuff that I know, because if I know it, you must know it, because I have low self-esteem. So, Bob, what are you doing right now? Are you still living in Colorado?
You betcha.
Yeah, why move?
It's a great place to be, but don't tell anybody.
And, no, it's too late. We're all moving out there.
Okay.
Loading up the U-Haul with all the drug addicts and the illegals, and I'm bringing them right on down.
Bring your checkbook.
So you were the former DA, and you worked on the JonBenet case. And what about this car?
I was the DA, Adam, in the neighboring jurisdiction of in Brighton, Colorado, right next door to Boulder. But I was part of a task force that advised Alex Hunter, who was the DA then.
Is Brighton where they filmed South Park?
Not that I know of.
No. Oh. And
close, though.
And where did and you worked on the case, and you're familiar with it, obviously.
Sure.
What do you think of this car? Because it sounds to me like he was just confessing to get out of a bad prison into a prison here in the United States. Is that true?
Well, he didn't actually have any charges against him in Thailand.
He
was being held only for the Boulder County charges. So, you know, it may be that he'll hit the ground here in Boulder and say, thanks for the ride, guys.
Well, what happened? He's in Thailand. He's teaching. He's going from teaching job to teaching job. Presumably, he's there for the sex tourism stuff, but he's not charged with anything. And then who does he admit this to, or who does he announce this to?
He had a series of emails and a series of phone conversations with some folks, and the people in Boulder never really knew who was doing these emails. Mm-hmm. About 3 weeks ago, they linked it to him and started the investigation centered on him. His name had never surfaced in the previous 10 years of investigation, but because of some of the things he said in these emails with a journalism professor here in Colorado, he piqued their interest.
But does it seem to you that he is linked to this case, or does he just seem like a nut job who's looking for a little publicity or bragging?
I think both are true, Adam. The only way we're going to know whether he's involved in this murder, other than what he said, is when he gets back here and the results of DNA testing is done, whether his DNA compares favorably to the unknown DNA that was found at the crime scene.
Well, how come they haven't, though, yet, before the DNA stuff, because that takes a week or whatever it takes, but why haven't they even done the handwriting comparison?
Handwriting is kind of a soft science. Mm-hmm. You know, handwriting isn't going to identify anybody. You can rule people in, sort of. You can rule people out, sort of. But handwriting is kind of icing. It's collateral evidence. The DNA is the main evidence.
It's something you might use if you're trying to accumulate evidence, but it wouldn't convict someone in and of itself.
How much do they, Bob, how much do they need to have to charge him? It seems like Boulder wouldn't want to embarrass themselves, the investigators there, by not having anything.
Well, the standard is probable cause, more likely than not, to issue the arrest warrant. That's less evidence than you need to convict somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, between that arrest warrant, which I think was a responsible thing to do after he made statements implicating himself, after he, you know, his past 4 or 5 years indicates he's a pretty heavy flight risk, and then finding out that, good God, he's working with kids in Thailand.
Well,
that's what kind of prompted the Boulder authorities to issue the arrest warrant, although I don't believe that they have sufficient evidence actually to convict him at this stage.
Bob, can I ask you this? I think the way I feel, and again, I speak for all Americans. That's why I have a radio show. I feel like this guy's probably just a braggart, a pedophile, and a nut job. And he probably is not the man who killed JonBenet, although I would like him locked up and or put down anyway. I certainly don't want this guy sent back into society. And I think the rest of society feels that way. Like, look, if not this, even if the DNA stuff is inconclusive, or even if we find out through testimony from his ex-wife that he was never in that area around Christmas of, 96, I still want the guy put down or locked up. Can we do other things with him, even if we find out he's not responsible for this case?
Well, he still faces sentencing in the charges out in Petaluma that were possession of child pornography. Those are misdemeanor charges. He faces those regardless of what happens here in Boulder.
But would that be a slap on the hand? I mean, those are misdemeanor charges. Would he do time for that?
That depends on the courts out there. He could very well, given his history, and particularly given what he's said, and I suspect anybody who does a psychological profile on the guy is going to find out that he's got serious issues with young kids.
But I know it's going to be one of these horribly unsatisfying things where we find out he's a nut job. We just spent $2,500 to fly the guy back from Thailand so he could eat on, king prawn and shrimp and whatever else, and pate. Then he goes in, turns out his DNA doesn't match up. He gets thrown out. Then they go to Petaluma. Turns out the maximum you can give this guy is 6 months probation, and then he ends up raping my niece, and I don't even have one. That's how dangerous this man is.
Well, can they charge him for a false confession and thus he'd get more time?
Well, I've been a prosecutor for 28 years, so I don't use the word confession. He hasn't confessed to anything. He's made statements that implicate him in what he says is an accidental death. So the question of whether he can be charged for lying, that he really can't. People lie with immunity unless they're on the stand under oath, and he wasn't under oath anyway.
How do you feel about these guys? Just, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like there needs to be a place for guys who think it's a good idea to look at child pornography, that these guys are ticking time bombs. Best they go off in prison and not in society. I mean, it's just, if that's what your sexual proclivity is, children, then what are you supposed to do? Lead a life without exploring your sexuality at all? Of course he's going to be doing things. I know it's a slippery slope, because then we'll lock everyone up for the thoughts that they're having, but
people in jail for what we're thinking. I wonder how much time you and I would spend.
Uh-oh, what are you thinking about, Bob?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day in Colorado.
I just would like to see a stick of dynamite put up this guy's very small ass and have him just blown up in the center of town.
Can I ask Bob, as someone who's been very, very close to the case, and I know this may be difficult for you to comment on, but I'm interested what you think, who do you think was involved in JonBenet's murder?
Well, one of my jobs in the investigation phase was to be the resident skeptic, so I was kind of the designated hitter when the evidence came up that pointed toward an intruder. I said, yeah, well, what about this and this that points toward the insider? Evidence came up that points toward the insider. I said, what about this and this that points toward the intruder? So I have not made up my mind, and I am studiously keeping from making up my mind about whether someone is chargeable in this case.
Well, what about let's say
DNA,
the brother,
if this guy's DNA comes back and it matches to the unknown samples that were down in that basement, it's very likely he's a killer.
Well, what about the brother? Any thoughts on him?
I feel very sorry for the man. He's 19 years old, and he's been in a firestorm for the last 10 years. If the question is whether he is a viable suspect, the answer is no. He's been ruled out for years and years.
So it just seems to everybody that if somebody actually broke into the house, that there'd be more evidence of that.
Is there fingerprints, a handprint, anything there?
There's a palm print down in the basement, but that's explainable, or at least that's not. You could prosecute somebody if their palm print didn't match that palm print.
So the DNA that was left behind is sufficient enough to match up with somebody if we did have the right person and they gave a sample? Is that enough?
Yep. The profile was created back in 1997, so mm-hmm. we know we have the genetic fingerprint of the killer, and that's existed for 10 years.
What do you think about these DNA banks or these, or you know, the I know the ACLU is dead set against it because they just take honest, hardworking people and start locking them up. We'd put them all in the gulag somewhere, according to those fruitcakes. But what if we had a DNA bank, then we just turn on the computer and match this DNA to whoever had submitted to everyone's possible DNA, right?
Well, we do. The FBI has a DNA bank, and each state does, and this DNA profile has been matched against everything that's available so far and hasn't come up with a match. It's not that everybody in the country is in that, but convicted felons in most states are required to give DNA samples, and those samples, those profiles go into a database.
So, Bob, we're going to hold your feet to the fire here and say, is John Carr guilty or not of this before we move on?
John Carr's DNA matches the DNA found at the scene. It's highly likely he's a guilty man.
Well, as they say in your business, no S, Sherlock. But what do you think right now?
I think I'm waiting.
Okay, that's it. No gut instinct as someone who's worked on this case for many years?
I work hard not to believe in gut.
All right. Jesus Christ, does anyone have an opinion anymore?
Doesn't believe in gut instincts.
All right.
He told us off the air, by the way, that he didn't really think that Carr was guilty. He told Jaron that.
It's starting to shape up. It's just starting to come together.
Like
it doesn't
every
seem like
expert,
he is.
It's completely anecdotal, but everything I've seen on TV, every expert, so-called expert, says, it doesn't
look like anything. I learned something interesting from Bob, which is that lying is not a crime unless you're under oath. So you can make all the confessions you want and get free flights wherever you want. You will not be charged.
That's right. That's how I got to Thailand, by the way. I don't do it to get to Colorado. I use it, and you get the bonus mileage. Henry Boyd is on the phone. Henry?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
What's happening, Henry?
Nothing much. How you been?
Good. When is the last time we spoke, Henry?
Oh, man, it's been over 20 years, 30 years. I have no idea.
Ooh, I'd say it's been maybe even over 30 years. Henry, why don't you explain who you are?
Well, I'm an old friend of yours. Played Pop Warner football with you back in 1972, 1973.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Back when we used to keep our helmets in our back pockets and Coach would yell, them up and pull them on.
You played ball with Corolla? Was any good?
Adam was all right. He was all right.
That's not what he says. I hear tales spun about his legendary plays at the defensive line, so on and so forth.
Come on, Henry. Be honest.
Well, some of those might have been true. But remember, we were 8, 9 years old.
I think I have a picture. I don't know if it's with you or your brother, James, with us holding up some championship trophy from, 1972.
What was your team?
East Valley Trojans.
All right.
Yeah, East Valley Trojans. And I used to go spend my mom, who was very hippie and very progressive. The Boyds are black family, and my mom would just drop me off at their house, and I would stay the entire weekend there, and I would be the only white guy in the neighborhood. But where was that neighborhood? Where was that, Henry?
I was in the San Fernando Valley, back in Pacoima.
I was in Pacoima.
And you wouldn't want to go there now.
No, I didn't want to go there then. I got to be honest. And I'm not exaggerating. I was the only white guy at the park, right? When we would go to the park.
Yes, you were. That's why we walked real close to you.
Corolla's afro saved him.
We had Henry's mom would make grits and greens and ham hocks. It was really out of Alabama, circa 1945. She's cooking away.
Where's your mom from?
Actually, my mom's from Puerto Rico, believe it or not.
Oh, what the hell?
But wait a minute. Back then, Adam, I stayed a few nights at your house, and I do remember being the only black guy in the neighborhood also.
What did his mom make you for dinner?
You know what? I have no idea. If I remember back then, I think they may have been vegetarian.
My mom was a hippie. And
pot brownies.
My poor friend Chris was eating a pasta at my mom's house and had to ingest entire bay leaf.
Oh.
Had too much decorum to spit it out.
Henry, did you have a feeling when you knew Corolla when he was 8 years of age, did you say, now this is a man destined to be on the radio and the TV?
Are you kidding me?
Heck no.
I do remember a funny...
He couldn't even remember the plays back in football.
Well, he's only eight.
The rest of us did.
There were only three plays, I'm sure.
I do remember that, well, a couple things. First, so we met on the East Valley Trojans probably when I was about seven or eight in the Gremlins, I guess. Did you start playing in the Farm or the Gremlin League?
I played in the Farm League and the Gremlin League for 2 years, and then I moved on to the Valley Dolphins.
Yes, he went on to the Valley Dolphins, and I went off to the Sun Valley Falcons.
Did you ever meet on opposing teams?
No, they
were always losers. They never met us in the playoffs.
I don't think we ever. I think, Henry said 20 or 30 years. This is one of these things you do when you're old. It's 30 years plus since we've spoken.
Really?
And, we're playing. We used to play football on the front lawn of your house. Remember that, Henry?
Yes, I did.
We'd go down to the park. Now, I was, we'd play, and it was me and Henry and his brothers and all the neighborhood guys, and they all used the N-word. They all called each other the N-word.
You
Is
knew
that
better,
true?
Though.
No, I did not. No, I did not.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Henry, no, how'd that go?
I did drop the N-word at a certain point, and everyone just stopped and looked at me.
Is that seared into your memory, Henry?
No, not at all. Not at all.
No, because you love me, right?
Oh, we're close friends. I think Adam and myself were very close back then. Remember, I was on the black guy on the team, so I had to hook up with somebody.
Right? And like I said, I had the black man's hair, and my mom is very progressive. Sure, drop him off in Pacoima for the long weekend.
Well, I'm curious what Henry's up to now after 30 years.
He's big boy. He hosts the radio show.
Henry, what are you up to, and where did you play your high school ball, or did you play?
I played high school ball at Kennedy High School in Granada Hills.
From
there to Cal State Northridge. Played 2 years, got tired of it, and started working for a living. And been doing that ever since.
And what about James?
James, he played at Kennedy as well. Went on to Santa Monica Junior College, played 2 years there, and didn't go anywhere from there.
Yeah, you guys probably had a pretty good team over there at Kennedy in the early 80s.
Yeah, we did. We had a very good team.
And what do you do now?
I'm in law enforcement.
Oh, you are?
Oh, a police officer?
Mm-hmm. Yes, uh-huh.
Where's your district? Where do you work?
I work L.A. County Sheriff's Department.
Mm.
Are you married? Have a family?
I'm married. Have two kids. I have a son that's 10 and a daughter that's 12. And for the past 5 years, I've been coaching him in Pop Warner football and travel baseball.
Wow, that's wonderful. And where do you coach Pop Warner football, by the way?
In the Santa Clarita Valley.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's where you live.
Ace, you got to go and give the kids a motivational speech.
Yeah.
I will.
Come on down. I also coach a travel baseball team. We travel all over the country. We're actually pretty good. We've had the team for 5 years.
Let's sponsor the Little League team like Chico's Bail Bonds, and you go down to the football team and give them your the helmets aren't... chair speech.
All right, people, come on, break it down. I grab a knee. Helmet's not a chair. Wait. All right, ladies. Or gentlemen, I use that term loosely.
What happens if you're bad? You go to the donkey?
Donkey squad. Well, right. that wasn't Pop Warner. That was junior high. But Henry, you remember when they thought water was bad for you? So you'd just be doing laps in the San Fernando Valley, and it's like, hey, you guys, you can't drink any water or you'll cramp up.
Oh, Coach Napier days.
Coach Napier. Coach Gallagher, all those days. Yeah.
Coach Gallagher, Coach Napier. The tool man, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't that what he was famous for? Doing commercials back then?
They would. Here's the thing this is back in the day when you got to hit kids other than your own. You got to whack around kids, you know, grab them by the face mask and start screaming at them, start freaking them out. I mean, really, I was traumatized.
Don't call the black kids the N-word.
Well, hey, that was Adam all the time because he forgot the plays all the time. So he got his ass kicked.
All right.
Quite
now, often. Please tell him I was a good player before I hang up on you, Henry.
Hey, actually, Adam was one of the better players. He protected me very well back there. So, you know.
That's right. Henry Boyd. Henry, come in and see us. I'd love to. Love to see how tall you got. And his brother, James.
Yeah, how
bring
tall
the kids.
Are you?
Bring the kids.
Are you a big guy?
Well, I just put him on.
He
wasn't
curious.
A tall
about
guy
60,
back.
200. Hey, oh. Just check out my travel team's website. Pretty amazing kids that have that travel baseball team. It's called SoCalRedWings.org.
What age are the kids?
The kids are 10 and under. As of September 1st, we'll start playing as a U11 team. We won a 4-state championship, an international championship. We have a very good program.
All right, well, check it out, Henry, and you come in and pay us a visit and say hi to James, too.
I will. Hey, you take
and,
care.
And your older brother was drunk when I was there.
Richard.
Oh, Richard showed up naked and drunk or something. I remember your mom chasing him with a slipper. Seriously, your older brother must be 6-7 years older than you?
Actually, he's only 4.
4? Drinking at that age.
That makes him 12.
Something happened. Is he okay? Is he around?
He's fine. Everybody's doing well. Everybody's moved on, working, and raising the family.
All right, so he won his battle with booze in the 9th grade.
He was drunk and naked and still better than Carroll at football.
He was a big boy, too. He was a heavyweight, right?
Yes, he was.
All right, listen, I'm telling you. Yeah, I was out on the lawn. Thanks, Henry. I was out on the lawn. Here's the thing. When you hang around the all brothers, they use the N-word. They use it like Tad uses dude. And this and that and everything and in your face and all that. And he just goes up. After about 2-3 days of it, it just comes flying out. Mm-hmm. I just put a little shake and bake move on the brother and went into the end zone. And then the N-word started flying out. And they all just stopped and looked at me. They weren't mad. They were just stunned.
It's like props to the hood.
You knew immediately that it was a mistake once it came out.
It didn't have the same. To me, the thing that was funny is I was 10 years old and I was around guys who were using the word in a jovial, playful sort of way. So it didn't have the gravitas or whatever it has. Whatever it has now, it didn't come with that baggage in the young Corolla's mind. All right. But progressive. Yeah. Ace man hanging out in Pacoima for the week with the Boyds.
He sounded like a very nice man and a cop.
Yeah, and went on to be a football star over there at Kennedy High. All right, we'll take a quick break. We have a drunken tree mascot out there. Also, Ultimate Fighting Champ Chuck Liddell has entered the studio. Brusket, were you pointing at somebody?
Yeah, wanting to do the jerk list next as well.
The jerk list and... I promise you we will hear that song that's been driving me insane as well. All that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
That's what I love about jerk list.
There's too many jerks.
That's what I love about
jerk
list.
A severe penalty for being a jerk.
That's what I love about the jerk list.
What an outrage. Shame!
That's what I love about the jerk list.
Judge rules, jerk!
Well, that could only mean one thing.
Let's get it on!
Dave's jerk list.
Oh, I'm sitting on some good stuff.
Chomping at the bit.
Let's go.
All right, hold on. Damshek, you're going to kill me. We got Liddell waiting, and
he'll wait.
No, we don't have time. Seriously, we don't have time. For the jerk list. The drunken tree mascot is not happy. We're having a car wash on Friday. She's outside going nuts, so she wants to talk.
You're pulling the jerk report?
It's not the report, it's the list, but yes.
He works very hard on this list. List, I'm sorry.
He puts his soul into this. You understand?
Heart,
I mean, this
soul.
Is his baby.
I enjoy it, but we got to move on. We'll do it tomorrow. Can we just do it tomorrow?
Wow.
Uh-oh.
What's jerk?
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a jerk alert. This is not a drill. I repeat, this is not a drill. Do not panic unless you are a jerk.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious who deserves this jerk notification. Breska's a creep!
Wow.
How dare you, sir?
Jerk alert right before the jerk list.
What am I to do?
By the way, we also have Adam's song that we've been searching for.
I don't give a good damn about Adam's song.
Breska, when can we hear the jerk list?
Tomorrow. Maybe. Maybe not. I may not.
Don't punish us, Dave. Don't punish us and the listeners.
Don't apologize to me, scumbag.
All right, let's collect ourselves and move forward. Here is
good times.
Chuck Liddell.
Don't expect me to participate.
Ultimate fighting champion. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Ultimate fighting champ on the way in. Also, drunken tree mascot. First unfinished business. The song that David Mark John Mark David John Carr was singing
John Mark Carr.
John Mark Carr, whatever his name is, the guy, the pedophile, the JonBenet pedophile, the one that he was singing. It's all over the news. He's playing the acoustic guitar. It's 1987. He's singing at his buddy's wedding. I know the song, and it was driving me nuts. I think we found it, or at least we found 30 seconds of it. So can we hear that?
Compare.
It's always the 30-second snippets they give you aren't the main part, though, or at the end of the main part. Right, it'll fade out before.
That was the chorus that John Mark Carr was singing.
That was the end of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm falling.
This is John Mark Carr.
Right.
That's got to be
another clip from 1987.
It does sound like England Dan and John Ford Coley, but it's not.
Just to review, though, you held your wife hostage while you played this over and over on the TiVo to figure out that it was this song.
Yeah. And just to review, the Jerks now are running free, unchecked, so that we can hear this song.
All right. Drunken Tree Mascot is in studio.
Thank you.
I know you're not feeling well.
Oh, I don't feel good.
I appreciate you coming in.
I'm PMSing.
Sorry. Sorry to hear that. Drunken Tree Mascot was thrown out of Stanford for being drunken inside of her tree. That's
tree
the name.
Costume.
Drunken Tree Mascot. It's unclear whether it was a costume or not. Built like
it was a
sequoia.
Costume.
Oh, okay.
And she's retaining water.
Fallen on hard times. We brought
good.
Her in. We need a mascot on this show. But so far, you've just been drunk and belligerent. You've not done any of your mascotting duties.
You know, I really like you guys. Except for him.
Brisket?
Look at me. Yeah, with his brisket and his brisket and not losing any weight.
Oh, wow.
Slim fast, slim a lot of, none of it is that fast.
Jukebox calling a fire hydrant husky. That's basically what that was. I'm sorry, and I know it's tougher. Bruss gets married, he's a husky man, who cares? But you're a delicate
he's
young flower.
He's a mom of his own now.
That's right.
I'm sensitive, Adam.
What's the matter?
Because my stomach hurts.
PMS.
PMS.
Are you crampy?
I've been sick all week. Every morning sick.
Drunk Tree Mascot's a redwood.
Do you think, is there any chance you're pregnant?
Are we still in the radio? No. Oh my god!
What?
Why are you looking at me? What is going on?
Yeah, you only performed oral on Brisket.
What happened now?
Well, I'm drunk still. And I am PMSing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm preggers.
Really, you think you might be preggers?
Maybe.
I'll toast to that. Hey, we have this charity car wash that's coming up this Friday. We're doing it out here in Los Angeles. We have Lisa, who's one of the Scores girls from Vegas. She's going to come down.
Hi.
Help us wash some cars. Good to speak to you, Lisa.
Hi, nice to speak to you as well.
So we'll see you on Friday.
Wait a minute.
Absolutely.
10 a.m.
Are you coming down to party with
Wait.
Us?
8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We're going to be on Melrose, block west of Cahuenga. Yes.
You're going to the car wash?
Yeah, we're doing a little charity thing.
Am I going to go in the car wash?
Oh, you could have your car washed if, in fact...
I can have my car wash. I want to go to the car wash.
You can come on down.
Can I wash cars?
We're kind of using ladies for that who... have experience washing cars.
I need the money.
Yeah, I feel like you out there in that one piece is probably not what we're talking about. You know, we're going to have beautiful women. They're going to be sudsing up the car. It's going to be like an 80s video. And meanwhile, the money going to a good cause. Which is,
I am
autism.
Going
yes.
to muster the last bit of strength that I have mm-hmm. to get really, really sad again.
Lisa?
Yes.
You're calling from Vegas?
I am. I'm calling from Vegas.
And you'll be coming down here with the rest of your score girls, buddies.
Oh. Hey. My cohort.
Why don't you go back to Vegas, you hooker? Oh. I got the car wash. I'm doing it myself.
I got your car wash right here.
Oh, do you?
Hey, listen.
I'm PMSing.
Drunken tree mascot.
I am.
But you understand, Lisa, first off, you should be aiming your ire toward Bruska because he's the one who's pulling the strings here. Lisa's just caught in the crossfire. She's coming out. She's going to bring her bikini. She's going to be washing the cars. We're going to be raising money for autism. That's what we're going to be doing. She doesn't
come
make
out
the call.
In whatever you want. You're going back home in a body bag.
Oh, no.
And I use a Chicago accent for that because I got ties out there.
Okay, bring it, sister.
Bring it, mister.
No offense. Lisa's an attractive girl. Hey. And no offense.
She's got a lot of qualities of her own to be coming out here all from Las Vegas. Hey.
What is that?
Hey, listen. Drunken tree mascot. No one says you can't show up and get your car wash, but we're just going to let the folks that look a little better in a two-piece do the actual washing. That's all.
Mm, I gotta poop.
Well, maybe you'll feel slimmer after that.
Maybe.
All right.
Quit putting olive oil in your hair, bitch. It's blinding me in lights.
Hey, Lisa?
Yeah.
So we'll see you on Friday?
Yeah, definitely. Come on down.
Who you bringing with you?
Well,
besides your hemorrhoid friends.
don't listen to her.
I'm so sorry, Lisa.
Go ahead,
oh,
Lisa.
No, that's okay. My friend Roslyn.
Mm. And she's from Scores as well?
She is from Scores.
Yeah, we're getting a bunch of Scores girls coming down on Friday. It's actually, like Adam said, on Melrose, a block west of Cahuenga, Friday morning, 8 to 10 in the morning.
And you can use Teresa's head to armor all your tires. She has
sure.
that much grease
I
in
will
it.
Do that for autism.
All right, we will do that. Drunken tree mascot, again, we can't stop you from coming, but we're just not going to have you get in the two-piece and lather up the cars.
Thank you. Sorry, I don't care more. I'm PMSing.
What is this pregnancy thing, by the way? You really are pregnant?
Well, wouldn't you know.
Mr. Pickle.
Pickle, pickle eater. You eat pickles. Don't look at me like that. I'm
all right.
Serious.
All right, let's, we got to let the show off.
Let's,
we got to get this thing
get her off the air. We got to move forward here.
Yeah, Chuck Liddell.
Ultimate Fighting Champ Chuck Liddell is going to be in here in a moment. Entering the octagon, I think
I
this
get out on my own.
Saturday. Help him out, Ruskin.
Here we go.
It's your baby, too.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with Chuck Liddell after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Chuck Liddell is a quintessential predator.
Every time I get a knockout, everyone says it was a lucky punch.
He's a true warrior.
Probably one of the luckiest guys in the world, I guess.
That's it. It is all over. It is all over.
A lot of my fights have ended in knockout, which I guess they're all lucky punches to everyone.
And Chuck Liddell is the light heavyweight champion.
The Iceman, Chuck Liddell, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Rochelle Elias here as well. She's a host of UFC's All Access and the Ultimate Fighter 4, the comeback, which I watched. Chuck, good to see you as well.
How you doing?
Good.
Sorry, it's too early in the morning for me.
I understand that. I understand. I'm not here to get in your way. Chuck is going to enter the octagon this Saturday, a little pay-per-view action. Chuck's what they call a striker, right?
Yeah.
You do the punching.
Yeah, I'm known for striking, yeah.
How many ounce gloves do you guys wear?
I think they're four. They're small. They're actually perfect. They're just small enough. They're big enough to protect my hands a little bit so that they don't protect your head too much.
Put some nickels in there sometimes.
It'd be nice if they let me. Yeah, if they let me get away with it, maybe.
The thing about it is, you know, professional boxers use 10-ounce, sometimes 8-ounce gloves, but they look like pillows compared to what these guys are wearing, and that's why when you see the guy get a shot in the head, these guys are scrambled almost immediately. Whereas in boxing, you see guys trade those kind of punches with a 10-ounce glove, and they're not as scrambled as quickly.
I think a lot of it, too. I mean, the mostly to protect your hands. I mean, gloves were originally used to start protecting the fighter's hands, not necessarily to protect the other guy's head.
Mm-hmm. So as a striker, you'd like to stay on your feet.
Yeah,
right.
I like to stay on my feet as much as possible. I mean, that's probably my whole game. I stop and take down, stand on my feet, and then once I do get down, getting back to my feet.
And is it? What are the rules? Because we were talking about it in the 6 o'clock hour. There's some rules.
There are some rules. I mean, they've had to change stuff. But, you know, get licensed by a commission. You know, there's rules to protect the fighters, but they try to keep the essence of the fight, you know, the same.
No gouging.
No eye gouging. No biting. You know, no headbutts.
How about
kicks
my
the head
move,
on the ground?
The groin strike.
No, they took that one away too, which I wasn't too sad to see that one go. But
had you ever been stricken in your groin?
I've been in training quite a few times, probably, but never in a fight.
Now the beautiful Rochelle, the host of this sort of business, this UFC business.
Yes.
What do you think? You think of is this the sort of fella you go for?
Personally, you know, Chuck and I are friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I haven't never dated a fighter. No.
Yes. Yeah, you don't. That's not for people
might.
Like you or me.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be involved in that kind of stuff. Let's.
Well, Dave's a lover.
Yeah.
You're a lover, not a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chuck is both.
I guess I'm a fighter too, but yeah, I'm more of a lover than a fighter.
Chuck, I'd like to get you to punch that bag thing behind you, by the way. I'd like to see what your score is on that one, because you're right in the middle. Well, actually, you're coming to the end of the training. The fight's this Saturday, right? I couldn't imagine anything more nerve-wracking than the time leading up to a fight. Are you nervous, or is it just anticipation? Are you dying to get in the ring?
Oh, I'm just ready to go. You know, you've been training for 3 months, and it's just time to fight. I mean, I love fighting, so I love getting in there.
Mm-hmm. And what is this schedule for you when you're in training?
I'm working 5 days a week, working out 5 days a week, 2 to 3 times a day. Just depends.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing
that's
behind
the
you, by the
talking.
Way. So you
machine's
start off. You start off at like 6 a.m. with a big bowl of human fetuses, and then what?
I'd never get up that early. If I do, I might go with that. But I get up. I usually go for a run in the morning, and then I have training at 12:30, and then again at 8.
Mm-hmm. And do you train about the same as you would do, as I guess about the same as a fighter would train? Same schedule, basically?
Well, it's the same kind of schedule, but we have to train for more things. You have to work the wrestling and the striking and and your road work and stuff and conditioning.
Eric is on the phone, says he got in a fight with Chuck. Eric?
How you doing, Adam?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. A big fan. I don't get to hear the show so much. I live on the East Coast now, but I hear you guys on the internet.
You got in a fight with Chuck Liddell?
I'm gonna go back. I'm going back late 80s, early 90s, see if this jars his memory. I'm up Santa Maria area, Central Coast. I go up to San Luis Obispo. My brother-in-law is in the medical center up there. Leaving the parking lot, going to make a left out of the parking lot in California. Here comes Mr. Little in his car. He locks it up. He comes out of nowhere. The guy locks it up, and we don't touch. The bumpers come close. We don't touch. Next thing I know, he's out of his car. He's banging on my windshield. I got my.
Does this sound familiar, Chuck?
Not at all.
But you do hail from that area, do you?
I am from that area, yeah.
All right.
Okay, I would remember getting out and hitting someone in a car
a couple times.
Sure. Unless you're in one of your rage blackouts.
Yeah.
I got my boys Charlie and Rio in the car in my car, and so they're screaming, they're freaking out. I get out.
Well, how do you know it was Chuck Liddell? Were you sporting the mohawk? How long have you been sporting
the
mohawk?
At the time, I had no idea who he was.
Uh-huh.
He was just some guy screaming at me.
Mm-hmm.
I get out to calm this guy
Chuck's
down.
Chuck's getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of detail in this story,
yes.
And that's always what you say, Ace.
You calm him down, but how do you know it's Chuck?
I don't know it's Chuck at this point. I find out, so he's just a kid. He's some guy at this point.
Right.
I try to calm down. Next thing I know, the guy's got me in some kind of headlock thing with his legs. And,
really?
And I'm squirming around, and the kids are screaming, and we're in the middle of the intersection.
He's not a grappler. He's a striker.
Yeah.
Whatever
he would have punched you in the head.
I'm not a
I had you in a
fighter.
Triangle? I have you in a triangle.
Right. All right. He has you in a headlock with his legs. No, what, the reason I'm asking when I keep asking, how do you know it's Chuck, and you keep saying...
Well, he said I had him in a triangle, right? A leg thing. I choked you with the leg thing, that triangle. Did I?
You had me...
you make me... I'm remembering now.
I don't know.
Oh, really?
It was a leg choke. Huh?
Did he tap out? Yes.
All right. Listen.
Sorry. Listen,
Eric.
There's
a leg choke. Here's in 92.
All right. Listen. Yeah, I don't know it's Mr. Little until years later when I see the guy at the
TV
and I go, that's the guy from the intersection.
Hold on. It was a leg choke, though. I'm trying to remember, see if I remember it right.
Well, maybe this will jar your memory. He's got me in some kind of hold. Next thing I know, his thumb is shoved up. Can I say ass?
That is. That's why they call me. No, that doesn't.
That was fun.
That's not the Chuck I know.
Yeah,
he's
no,
a four finger man.
He doesn't use the thumb either. Okay, and the guy's got me in some kind of leg hold with his thumb in my small intestine.
All right, well, that's in front of this guy's kids.
In front of his kids.
In front of my kids.
I'm
and they're
a real
screaming.
Ass.
They're screaming for their dad. Meanwhile, this guy. Meanwhile, Chuck is as hard as Chinese arithmetic.
How dare you?
Hey, you think it's something that I... You think it's something I...
No, you can't make that stuff up. I do agree with that.
That sounds very plausible.
All right, that's enough out of you. How dare you insult our guest?
God, that's hilarious.
Chuck, why'd you do that?
I don't know, man.
That turned you on a little.
Guy it got me a little aroused. But
the guy shouldn't have cut him off.
That's what you get.
Don?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a legitimate Chuck Liddell fan?
Yes, sir. Love Chuck Liddell, man. Liking his knockouts on UFC Unleashed.
You're going to be watching this Saturday?
Of course. Just watch him knock out Babalu.
Yeah, who is this Babalu? Is it Sobral?
Sobral.
Who is he?
He's actually probably the toughest fight they have out there for me right now. I mean, he's a real well-rounded fighter. I keep saying the sad thing is most people... recognize him the most for that kick. I kick him in the face.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You posterized.
But he's had you know 10 straight victories. He had a bunch of victories straight before that, and then after that, he's had 10 straight victories. And he's it's a tough fight. I mean, everyone's telling me it's gonna be easy. I mean, it's gonna take me a little while to get to him.
Yeah. Now you fought him before and you beat him.
Yeah.
You kicked him in the face.
I kicked him in the face.
Then he gave him the thumb.
Rochelle, has Chuck ever given you the thumb?
Chuck's never given me the thumb. And that also is not a turn on.
He's giving her the big toe right now, by the way, but not the thumb. That's what he makes his living with. He just can't soil those. Chuck, how about you stand up and give that bag a sock right back there? Now, I got to tell you, Sugar Ray Leonard, the great Sugar Ray Leonard, gave that thing a sock, although I won't tell you what his score was.
Adam still holds the record, by the way.
Oh, do I? Yeah, but the thing had
Sugar
a little
Ray
more...
Sugar Ray didn't beat Adam?
Thing had a little more air in it when I was hitting it.
What's going on there, Tad?
Uh-oh.
Hit it, reset it. Just reset it.
Don't
reset
hurt Chuck it. Before his big fight.
No. Why don't we take a break and we'll reveal the score when
All
we
right,
get back.
Chuck Liddell is here. Wow, the phones have lit
Adam.
Up. Yes.
Can I ask my question to Chuck or no?
Go ahead. I'll answer for him.
What's your question?
Go ahead and ask your question to Chuck. I'll answer it, Chuck.
I'm in San Francisco, and he's going to be doing like a meet and greet up here at the Cow Palace in the 9th of September. Mm-hmm. Want to make sure he's coming, win or lose.
Yeah, I'm coming. And I'm bringing a figure four and a lubed thumb. So you're going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
All this violence isn't for me and Rochelle. Let's you and I go get an ice cream during the commercial.
So, Chuck, you'll be there win, lose, or draw. Actually, I don't have a draw. Now Chuck's going to punch the thing again.
Chuck's all about the
bag's ready.
Right now.
All right. The bag is ready.
Chuck, now no running starts. That's the key.
Okay.
You have to stand stationary and just, you know, turn those hips. We're going to take a quick break. Chuck, don't get angry at the bag.
Do get angry at it.
Think about that call, Eric.
Yeah.
That's right.
Put
he insulted the good name of, as he would say, Little. Chuck's going to... Whoa! Oh. That's a striker.
That.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the score after this.
Adam. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. KUFO.
And who do you think they be? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. Turn them out, knaves all three. I'm out of here. I'm not going to be treated like this. I don't have to stand like this. Bad, spoiled little creature.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Back with the Iceman, Chuck Liddell. Also, Rochelle Leah from UFC. Big fight coming up this Saturday on pay-per-view. Boy, tons of calls for Chuck. We just punched the Hooters punching bag. Chuck got a 648. And let me tell you about that. Sugar Ray Leonard, I think, got like a 535? No, he was...
40?
I thought he was like 570.
No,
something.
You were 570.
Oh,
something.
I was 570
the record,
something.
Adam had the record at 574. Sugar Ray came in here and punched it like 20 times and wound up, I think the high was in the 530s.
Wait, in Sugar Ray's defense, he's a what, 150?
Yeah, he's much lighter and he hasn't fought in about 15 years.
Chuck.
All right. I appreciate you sticking up for the Sugar Man, but you hitting it at 648. That is amazing.
Shattered the record.
And just frightening.
I'm in love, Corolla.
I'm telling you, it hurt my teeth watching him hit that, and it made me think about him wearing non-boxing gloves. You know, that's the whole thing. Getting hit in the mug with some 10-ounce gloves in that fist would be tough, but just wearing those cycling gloves they wear in there, that just sounds like a fate worse than death. All right, let's see. We got a lot of calls for Chuck. Let's see. Let's talk to Mike. Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Got a question for Chuck Liddell?
Yeah, actually, I've been hit by Chuck Liddell.
Oh, you have? Wow, join the party. Seems like most of North America has either been strangled by him or violated in one way or another.
Fisty cuffs of one way or another.
Why did he hit you?
Okay, this is the thing. My dad lives up in Orchid. It's up there near San Luis Obispo, kind of. And me and my wife went out one night after we visited my dad and went to this club. And I guess Chuck Liddell was a bouncer. I didn't know him at the time. Mm. My wife gets her drink spilt on her, so this little scuffle breaks out between me and this guy. Next thing you know, we're in a big fight. Chuck Liddell's breaking it up, and I get punched in my eye by him.
Oh.
I did not get knocked out, though, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you what, just to save time, if you're from Northern California and you haven't been assaulted by Chuck Liddell, why don't you call in? Because I don't think we're going to have time to get through all these
calls.
Were
you a bouncer, Chuck?
I was a bartender, actually. Mm-hmm. So if it was a fight I was involved in where I'm breaking up, it had turned into a big melee in the club.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a little fight, but I usually didn't get involved. And I mean, I don't remember exactly. I mean, I've hit a few people, but most of the time we didn't throw punches. The only time we threw punches in fights is if someone was throwing, but they started throwing punches at the bouncers.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I had a tendency to try to.
Here's a story about you getting a fight with a Navy SEAL, Mike.
Hey.
What happened?
Oh man, how you doing? There's a great story involving Chuck and some of his training buddies getting in a big brawl with some Navy SEALs. I've heard so many different versions, but I've never heard Chuck's version.
Okay, which brawl are you talking about?
There's more than one brawl with Navy SEALs.
The one where the cops literally waited outside the bar until you guys sorted things out in downtown San Luis Obispo.
The first time I wasn't even there. I've heard stories where I was there for the first time. It was Gann McGee, actually, that they were fighting for a long time.
The 11th through the 27th, you were there, right?
The last one I was actually, by the time I got there, it was almost all over, and I was one of the guys that hit a friend of mine on the ground, and that was holding someone down, and we were calling for the cops to come over to get him out of there. So mm-hmm. where I was, my friends were fighting. But
I want
to
hang with Chuck.
And then, that I was only involved for a short period of time in that fight.
Tell you who else wants to hang with Chuck. You'll be pleased to know, Chuck, that gay board up Bill back there fancies you. What do you think of that? You're very handsome and manly.
Well, you're second to Tito.
Well, thank you.
He likes Tito.
Tito, I think, is a little cuter.
Well, all right. Well,
no offense.
He gives you a big
no
thumbs
offense
up.
Taken. That's okay. Thanks.
Big thumb.
Yeah. Jesus. Good luck raping Chuck. That's all I got to
that's
say.
That's going
to
be a tough one.
There ain't enough roofies on the planet.
I think Chuck's a top.
Yeah, he's definitely a top. He's a top nice. Even when he's masturbating. That's how masculine he is. He gets on top of himself. That's what I would be. That's my name. Forget about the Iceman or the Sandman. The top.
Yeah, I like
that. That's all you need to know.
You're the Iceman. If you don't beat this guy, Babaloo Sobral. I mean, what a sissy man name that is. Babaloo. You can't possibly lose this fight.
It's impossible that you lose. Thanks for putting the curse on it.
Yeah, thanks. I can use that.
Babaloo, a sissy.
We need to. Well, that's a good name for you, though.
Babaloo, a sissy.
Babaloo. So, Chuck will be entering the octagon coming up this Saturday. Is it in Vegas?
It's at Mandalay Bay, yeah.
But now the fights, they're sanctioned here in California now. They can have them out here, right?
I think there's one coming up here in the pond again.
Uh-oh, big tad, I'll tell you.
St. Pierre versus Matt Hughes.
Yeah, it's September 23rd, yeah.
Do they check for steroids? Man, it looks like some of those guys are on the juice.
I know the title fight's mandatory. It's mandatory. Both guys are tested. I think it's random. Other than that, I don't think they test everybody, but they could.
But they will test you for a title fight.
Yeah, for title fight, it's mandatory.
And this is a title fight coming up. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. You, Rochelle, Chuck, all that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. This Friday is the first ever Corolla Car Wash from 8 to 10 a.m. at 5925 Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles, one block west of Cahuenga. You bring your dirty car, and we'll bring the dirty girls.
Oh, yeah!
That's right, the Free FM Bod Squad and the girls from Scores are going to wash your car. And your girlfriend can't give you any crap about it.
Shut up!
Because it's all for the charity Talk About Curing Autism. So bring a donation and have some Aussie's Flapsteak.
My marinade is special and secret.
It's the first ever Corolla Car Wash this Friday morning. Don't miss it.
Okay.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Forget about the car. Go down there for Ozzy's flap steak.
I'm going to eat the flap steak for charity.
Rochelle Leah here from UFC's All Access. Also, Chuck the Magic Thumb Liddell. Change his name. I'll tell you, you want to put fear in hearts of your opponent. You call yourself the Magic Thumb. Chuck is going to be entering the octagon for, I guess, the 22nd time coming up this Saturday. You can do that. Watch him on pay-per-view. How's the money going? Because it seems like the sport has grown by leaps and bounds just in like the last 6 months, but certainly over the last couple of years. I mean,
it's gone bigger. I probably made more in my last fight than I did the whole year previously.
What year did you start?
98. I fought for 98. I fought in my first tournament for $1,000 to show up.
$1,000
in the UFC. I was on the undercard and I was an alternate to a tournament.
Mm-hmm. And that was when gouging and stuff was still allowed.
That was
right?
If I got in and won another fight, I think I would have got $20,000 total.
Right. Chuck, I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but how about you lose the goddamn gun before Big Dave Damashek has to come over there and open a can of Wolfgang's on
that.
Your...
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Going to accept your apology.
Wow. Such a big man.
Chuck, can I ask you, are you dating anybody now? Do you have yourself a girlfriend?
No, I don't. I don't have a girlfriend now.
Why bother?
Wow, Teresa's interested. Bill the gay board up.
I was just asking as a reporter.
Teresa's single.
I was just asking as a reporter. It would be very interesting. Chuck, are you like a jealous guy to date?
Not at all. I'm far from it.
Right.
Well, here's the thing.
Why do you say that?
I think all men lie about that.
why do you say that? Anybody that knows me knows I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I let my ex-girlfriend go to dinner with her ex-boyfriend.
Chuck, what do you think? What do you say here?
Dave's
girl Teresa.
Dave, stop pimping me out. I'm just curious, you know, about Chuck's life outside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty normal outside the ring.
Look, I gotta say, this has all the makings of a good 80s movie. You know what I mean? Different, from different worlds, but yet coming together to form a union. You from the hard-boiled world of the mixed martial arts fighter. Hers from the privileged world of the elite Jewish writers. She's accepting awards all day over at press clubs and functions. You're bashing guys' heads in, yet you come together as one.
It'd be interesting. I just like if somebody looked at me the wrong way and we were out on a date and then you would threaten them.
That could happen if it needed to. I mean, I don't tend to do that, but I usually. But if someone steps over the line with a girl, I'm like, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I like it. Teresa's been
dating. I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
She's been dating these Quimbys. Oh, they're not technically gay, but for all practical purposes, they're bottoms. Let's just call them bottoms. Wherever, what's beneath the bottom? The basement? The root cellars. Oh, that'd be a bad name. The root cellar. Bad name for a gay bar. These guys are root cellars. She'd like to move up to the penthouse. Like to, you know what I mean? Hang out with a guy who wouldn't necessarily go around threatening everybody every time some guy shot her the stink eye, but to know Chuck had your back. You know what I mean?
Be a good feeling.
Excellent.
All right. Chuck, you pretty much just date strippers and stuff like that?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Sure. Well, look, she said, no. You're in Vegas. Though. Ring girls, thanks, strippers, though. That kind of stuff. Hey, buddy, got the Iceman chuckling out. Hey, quit your grinning, trap you lady. Drop a pile driver on your head. He's no bottom, I tell you. Businessman's lunch, two to do. $1 well drink. Cheyenne, stage one. She's chuckling out. Raise your tongue, I don't see that guy in the dark out.
You know what I'm talking about, Chuck. You've been there quite a few times. Yeah. Well, you do that well.
That's the thing that sucks. If you're Chuck or you're Adam, you walk in a strip club with your hat pulled down. You're saying, hey, it's the guy, it's the man, the little Ziggy Shocky for the man show. His wife doesn't know where he is, but we do. Come on now. Gather around. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Chuck, you're laughing like this is very familiar.
Hey, it's the Iceman. Chuck it up there on stage. Come on now, buddy. Come on. Hate to interrupt the lap dance, but come on, buddy. Get up here. Yeah, trying to keep a little low profile. They're screaming.
Is that what it's like for you?
No.
We got some more questions for the Iceman, Chuck Liddell. Rob?
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's happening?
Too much. It's on my way to work.
You got a question for Chuck Liddell?
I sure do. I just want to know what he recommends for younger kids. You know, I mean, my oldest is only 2 right now, but I want to get him into something he's going to be interested in. Like, you know, my parents put me in karate when I was younger, and I wasn't that interested in it.
Yeah.
Keep interest.
I think the thing is you got to go watch the classes and watch the school, because depending on where you're at, it'll depend. It's how the guys teach. They got to make it fun. Mm-hmm. You know, you want guys that have some good technique, but make it fun for the kids. Because if they don't like what they're doing, they're not going to learn anyway. Yeah.
Don't have your dojo be like the Cobra Kai, where Kreese was yelling, finish him all the time. Yeah. You don't want that. The guy has his sleeves cut off his gi. Keep driving. That's what I say.
Should a 2-year-old be doing karate?
No, he was
asking for in the future. I mean, you can start at like 4 or 5.
Yeah, build self-esteem.
They have fun. And most of those classes are directed to have fun and teach them some skills.
Yeah, discipline.
All right, one more question for Chuck. Let's see. Here's, I guess, a buddy of yours from back in the day. Rick?
Let me guess.
Yes.
When did Chuck beat you up?
he never beat me up, but he came to my school one time and followed my instructor. Chuck, how you doing? This is Rick Carlson.
Hey, Rick, how you been, man?
I've been good. I've called the studio a couple times, but nobody thinks that I actually know you, so they won't give me your phone number.
Here. All right, man. I'll tell him to leave it for you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right, Rick. Rick, what are you doing now?
I'm a compliance officer. I moved out of San Luis Obispo and moved to Arizona. My wife became a cop over here, and her family's here, so we moved.
All right. Chuck, you know everyone in San Luis, although I know
I've been there a long time, 18 years. It's that guy I used to actually train, went up to his gym, trained with him a while back when I was kickboxing.
You live and train out of?
San Luis Obispo, yeah.
Right now?
I, Yeah, I love it there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's not quite San Francisco, but it's no L.A. Chuck Liddell, we need to take ourselves a break. The Iceman is going to be fighting this Saturday on pay-per-view at the Mandalay Bay. Rochelle, you'll be there as well?
I'll be there.
We'll be watching on pay-per-view. How much is it, by the way? Do you know? Is it like $39.90 something or
$49.95.
Yes.
Tad,
yes.
Ready.
Tad's got all the answers back here for
Yeah. They got to be making some money, and I just hope they're passing it along. Chuck, how old are you, by the way, if you don't mind
36.
Me?
36.
36. And how many years you figure I have left in the game?
Well, right now, I feel great. I mean, I'm going to keep going as long as my body will let me. I love fighting, so.
All right. So as long as
my body's still working, I'm fighting.
As long as the thumb holds up.
As long as that thumb. Keep going.
He has two thumbs.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with news and sports. T, what's in the news when we come back?
Well, John Mark Carr is about to have his hearing as we speak. Oh, we have some.
There's a pay-per-view I'd like to watch. Chuck Liddell and the pedophile in the octagon.
That's a great idea.
You snapping him like kindling.
Yeah, I would have no problem with that.
That'd be great. Two thumbs.
Set it up.
I like that. $39.95 on pay-per-view.
We'll look forward to that. What else, T? Sorry.
The top party school has been voted upon.
Mm-hmm.
America. And I will tell you that, not only that, but also what is the worst party school?
Mm.
Think about it. It's very obvious when you think about it.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on The Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Manchester, New Hampshire. A 26-year-old man was charged with vehicle theft and drunken driving. He went joyriding in an unattended street sweeper. Definitely not a Jew.
We are back. 866-901-ADAM is the phone number.
What do you think the chances are Chuck the Iceman Liddell, UFC world champion, is a Jew?
I'm guessing no Jews in the entire UFC.
Good bet.
All right. I'll go along with you on that. Yeah, they're not mixed martial artists. Usually, they stick to one discipline.
Yeah.
It's taekwondo, or it's karate, or it's jiu-jitsu, but they don't mix their martial arts. Yeah, well, I find with the Jews.
In the Olympics, Israel actually did very well in karate.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, but again, that is the wily foreign Jew. That's the Israeli commando Jew, not the docile domesticated Jew that we have over here,
have
the North American Jew.
Yeah, we won't hurt you.
See, it's the same with the bees. They got the killer bees over there in Africa, and we just have our honey bees over here. They're domesticated. That's why we cannot let the Israeli Jew come over here and mate with the docile North American Jew, or we're going to have problems.
Throw the Jew down the well.
And listen, and I'm not racist.
No.
I'm like, we don't do that. But our Jews know their place.
That's always right before you're about to hear the most offensive thing you'll ever hear in your life. It's always preceded by, I'm not a racist.
I'm not a racist. I just think there should be mandatory sterilization. Right. Quickly, Mark the Poet has a poem about Teresa's hoo-ha. I think I came across the name last segment, the root cellar. Probably the best name for Teresa's hoo-ha.
I like that.
Quickly, Mark the Poet, give us your poem.
Yeah, good morning, Ace Man, and Teresa, this is for you.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome. As sure as the smile on the Mona Lisa, here are some names for the vagina of Teresa. Well, there's Dasher and Dancer on Prancer and Vixen, Spicy Taco Salad with all the fixin', a sweet-smelling garden cornucopia of Kali, the rendezvous rose of Sharon, lovely lily of the valley, Juicy or Janice, there's no need to pout. Worse, it could have two birds flying out. Call in the Corolla Court. How about a multi-orgasmic Strasser report? Call it Eve, wear a leaf, name it Wendy, where's the beef? Pull the finger for relief. Whoops, they call that a queef. How about Lady Liberty, Shakti in Sanskrit, adopt orphan children and name it Jolie Pitt, Sophia, Shekinah, Babylon, Bina, dazzling, delicious, divine, honestly, Miss Strasser, just like all these guys, I wish I could call it mine.
Wow.
Well
really
done.
Really upped his game.
He really has. If this show has accomplished nothing else, Mark the Poet is much more proficient.
Mark, that was excellent.
Call Thank back, you, man.
Call back in 9 months. Thank you. Spicy taco salad, I think, is definitely be my favorite on that list.
That I wasn't sure about.
And speaking of my spicy taco salad. You ready to do some news,
Steve? Yes. Nothing builds a journalist's credibility like a poem about her vagina.
Yeah, sure.
John Mark Carr, the suspect in the JonBenet Ramsey case, is just about to... there's a hearing about to start here in L.A. Regarding his extradition to Boulder. All reports indicate that he's just going to waive it and go happily to Boulder, but he may fight it. Meanwhile, he spent last night in jail here in Los Angeles, where he was, not surprisingly, isolated from his fellow inmates. Meanwhile, a woman in Sonoma, California, claims that she has been emailing back and forth with John Mark Carr. Now, she got in touch with the FBI. She got in touch with Sonoma Sheriff's Department deputies. They gave her some equipment to record phone calls between the two. This is a recording of a phone conversation between this woman in Sonoma and John Mark Carr. The audio is not great because it's a recording.
When they say equipment, they mean a Victrola and a wax cylinder.
You have to listen carefully, and I also should
give her some decent equipment though next time. All right, well listen, I'm sorry.
It's Sonoma,
Teresa.
You know what are they
right?
Gonna,
sure, they it's do? Wine country. Wine. Everyone's yeah. drunk.
Just listen carefully.
Okay.
She was just so incredible in life and so unreal in death. She's just so alive. She's so alive.
He's saying she's so alive.
I mean, she's just most wonderful.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, super creepy. And they always do this one, too. They always dig up. They always go through the guy's closet, and they find a bunch of exes and schoolmates and roommates and things like that. And then they interview him, and they're like, well, you're married to him for 6 years. You had 3 kids. And then when you're vacationing in Europe 1 year, he did what? But they never stop in the middle of the interview and went, are you high? What the F is wrong with you? I mean, we understand what's wrong with him. He's a lunatic. He's a pedophile. His kindling has been snapped. But what the F is wrong with you? You married this guy and crapped out 3 kids with him? You thought it'd be a great idea to live with the guy and vacation with the guy and have his children? The hell's wrong with you?
Reports are that she was a teen bride, very, very young, 16 or so. So maybe that's...
All right. I just say we put him and Chuck Liddell into the octagon, and we put a bowling pin right in the middle of it. They both have to get to each edge, and they just run at it, and Chuck gets to do whatever with the bowling pin, whatever he likes with that bowling pin.
Just
that's
Chuck, a
pay-per-view.
A bowling pin and an octagon.
That's all.
And the pedophile.
That's
okay.
all.
Now, according to the Princeton Review, which every year names the biggest party school, what do you think might be the biggest party school of this year? Last year it was the University of Wisconsin, which dropped to number 4. This year, I think you can guess it based on certain sporting events.
Well, it's tough because on one hand, I used to follow the heat. I just go to Arizona or San Diego.
Right.
Wherever there's a lot of sun, there's fun
you're on
in the
right
sun.
Track here.
But then you say Wisconsin, there's another angle. You go where there's snow 6 months out of the year, and all you can do is sit around and play quarters all day and get loaded off your ass.
This one is neither.
I'm
going to
say Hook'em Horns, Longhorns, Texas.
Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Well, you said neither, so that was a clue. I'm going BYU.
No, that is actually the least party school.
I'm on my least party school angle. Yeah.
Most party school. Dave, you were on the right track. University of Texas at Austin. And the worst party school, Brigham Young University.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How'd my alma mater, Indiana University, do? It always makes the top 5, and I bust with pride.
I'm not sure, but they include alcohol and drug use, drinking on campus, and size of Greek scene. Now, apparently, the University of Texas won the football.
National crown, right.
National crown, so that made it a...
I see. You have to celebrate for nine months.
You have to celebrate for an entire year. Now... You might also like to know the happiest students are at Brown, and where might the gayest students be?
I'd go with Brown Thumb.
No, that'd be a good guess. At my alma mater, NYU, it's the gayest school.
Oh, yeah. You see the banners, Welcome Home Us,
well,
right out front.
The team is called the Violets, so that's not scary.
Dr. Drew's school, Amherst, were the Lord Jeffs. I just like to see the Violets get together with the Lord Jeffs. Forget about football anymore. It's just sodomy broken out on the 50-yard line. Pants dropping. Cheerleaders vomiting. I got to say this. If your school's not amongst the top five or top ten academically, then you hope to be the party school, which right. you don't want to be. And let me just tell you this, people, if any kids are listening, you don't want to get caught in the middle of life. You either want to be a straight-A student in high school, or you want to be on academic probation or thrown out for fighting or whatever it is. Nothing more boring later on in life. How, what'd you do in high school? I had a 2.9, like a kind of a high C. I ended up getting into Northridge. Nobody wants to hear that. You thrown out for fighting is what you want to hear, or never got anything lower than an A. That's where you want to, that's where you want to go. And I would say, go the thrown out for fighting route, because the A's a bitch.
I'm Teresa Strasser. I'm throwing myself out of the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
More Jeffs and Violets makes me think. I'm going to have to do a list of the best mascots. But I have another
Banana
list
slug,
I want to get to.
Gauchos. It just keeps
ducks,
getting worse.
Oregon Ducks.
Yes. All right, but first, let me say this about the national pastime and the big series that's going on a couple hours south of here in San Diego. Dodgers and Padres, the Daddies, took the first game last night, 4-2. So they're now three back of the front-running Dodgers in the NL West. Meantime, I'm up in San Francisco, Barry the Creep hit number 725. Gigantic shutout, the Snakes, who flew in on a plane from Arizona. Junior Circuit, A's beat the Blue Jays in a slugfest. Then the Blue Jays starting pitch. Pitcher Ted Lilly went to the fisticuffs with his own skipper, John Gibbons, who 6 or 8 weeks ago challenged another player to a fist fight, Shea Hillenbrand.
I like that.
And they
that.
Had to trade him away. Seems like a fun fella.
Yeah.
Hey, I was going to get to T.O., but I'm going to save that for the jerk list and instead do a different kind of list for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to it.
Dave Damashek's weekly rankings, brought to you by Heinz Ketchup.
Well, we could have done the best mascots, but I'll save that one. Then it occurred to me that Rochelle Leah, who was just in here with UFC champion Chuck Liddell, was some kind of fox.
Mm. Yes, you can see her in Maxim, I think.
Yes, I think she's also Playboy's Babe of the Month in the September issue. Mm. But anyway, she's a minx. And I thought, you know, with some of the other bevy of beauties we've had in here, Anastasia Ashley, the surfer girl who fancies the Ace Man.
Kid's got it bad for me.
She does.
She does. Yes, yeah. She's sweet on him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll get to those in another time. Mm-hmm. Right now, I want to get to someone else who may resurface on the jerk list whenever Brusca allows me to do it, for cripe's sake.
I do want to say, when somebody who's good-looking is interested in you and the person next to you acts surprised, that means they think you're pig. Really? Because if you would replace a good-looking person with that person, you wouldn't do that.
There'd be no shock at all.
Yeah, if there's a really good-looking guy and some good-looking girls, and good for you.
A beautiful surfer girl likes you, Adam.
Really? Huh. She was? Really?
Really?
Slap in the face.
All right, well, listen. On the jerk list, I'm pretty sure that's going to show up is the New York Times reporter, Jamie Dimon. I have a hunch she's going to make the list this week. Mm-hmm. Because she called me. She writes an article about Adam Carolla and takes a little sidetrack to mention that Dave has a round face. He has a face like a pie, she says. Mm. So I'm gonna make lemonade out of the lemons that she dealt me, and I'm going to name for you the best pies. And I know that pies are near and dear to
it's
your heart.
It's good for you to embrace it.
Yes, exactly. Now, number five. And then, by the way, I just want to remind you all, this is just the weekly rankings. There's still plenty of time left in the calendar year for these pies to move up or down in the rankings. Number five this week, banana cream pie.
Decadent.
Yes.
Yeah, solid.
Number four.
Rich.
I know you're not going to like this one, Ace. Custard pie. Oh, you do like that.
I like custard pie.
Custard's delicious.
I thought you were going to say strawberry rhubarb.
No. And by the way, I also want to say, I don't get into the exotic mixture. Walnut crunch, pumpkin, amaretto pie. That's not for me. No, these are the more straightforward pies. All right. Number three. Delicious. It's coming up to that season. Pumpkin pie. Oh.
I love it.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
Nothing better than cold and in the morning.
Yes.
The following morning after Thanksgiving, heading on down
with
the fridge.
Some stuffing next to it.
Big glass of milk. Yeah. Then Teresa vomits violently.
Well, how am I supposed to stay thin if I keep it down? Come on.
Go ahead.
Number two. pecan pie. Warm it up. Mm-hmm. That's my little hint. Throw it into the microwave for 20 seconds. Yeah, nice and warm.
With some ice cream.
Maybe then a scoop of vanilla.
You get the cold and the hot and the crunchy and the sweet.
Ooh la la.
Dave,
number one.
Hold on a second. Yes. I don't want to steal your thunder, but everyone focus on number one. I was thinking about this today. Stuff tastes better warm than it does cold. If you take a look at some, like if somebody vomited in your car and it was frozen, it wouldn't smell. If it was hot, it would stink to high heaven. If you vomited onto a space heater, it would stink to high heaven. If you vomit onto a block of ice, it's not so bad. It kills, it takes the taste out of things. If you take fruit and you put it in the fridge, it doesn't taste as good as the fruit at room temperature. What the Ace Man, he'll cut himself up some fruit, put some cottage cheese, whatever, put it in the microwave. 22 seconds.
Fruit.
Just a couple of seconds just to get it, not to make it warm. Just so it's not cold.
But it's got to be good to begin. Like, for instance, crappy beer you want as cold as you can possibly get it because
same
it
with wine. But right. Good wine, you're supposed to air it out.
Yes, flavor. In England, you get your beer, you know, room temperature because it's delicious.
You're right. A fart in an ice storm is not nearly as pungent as a fart in a heat wave. That's
well
all.
Put.
Do the fart math, people. Put it in the microwave. Don't use the microwave to make things hot. Use them to bring things in the fridge back to room temperature and enjoy it that much more. Now let's get to number one,
David.
But
I don't have to fart in the microwave, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right, 22 now, seconds.
Number one this week, best pie, coconut cream pie. Nothing's
fruit.
Better.
No fruit on your list.
Banana cream made it.
No,
I don't like to,
no apple, no cherry.
I don't like to mix my desserts. With fruit. I don't
also,
think those
you
go
really
together.
You left out all the chocolate. You left out all the chocolate.
You know why I did that? Let me tell you why I left chocolate off. In deference to Adam Carolla. Because he goes crazy about chocolate pie, which can be delicious. Chocolate mousse pie can be
so
delicious.
Good.
But I know it would start him. He'd go for 28 minutes
you
about
eat a,
it.
Look, go with your cake buddies if you want to. I shall be there. But go with your cake buddies if you want to eat chocolate. That's what I have to say.
But we can all agree on coconut cream pie is delicious?
Yeah. Now, here's a quick question. How about a la mode? Could we enter an ingredient? Because to me, hot apple pie with the vanilla melting on top
of it,
nothing better than that. But that would be a second food group entered in.
That's an interesting philosophical question you ask, Adam. I'm gonna have to pray
upon
it.
Plus, I think pecan pie with ice cream might move up as well.
Yeah, well, hard to move up much higher than number two. But yes, I'll have to consider that.
All right.
Chubby face.
What?
Dave, go fart up the microwave, would you? When we come back, we're going to play a little something called Made Up Movie. Well, sort of inspired by Snakes on a Plane. That seems like a movie where they came up with the title before they actually came up with the movie.
That's all they needed was a good title.
You give us a good title, and we will write a movie scenario around it in real time. Call 866-901-ADAM, and we'll play a little Made Up Movie after this.
We'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? It's your homeboy Jack Silver. Hell of a show tomorrow. Andy Milonakis is going to be in studio. He has something to do with MTV, I think, which is cool. The kids like it. Also, Dave's jerk list, finally. And for number one single, Lisa Loeb. Hey, she's super cute. Jackman's single, he can spin a tune.
You say,
I only hear what I want to. Take off your top. I'll work on it. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. It is time to play a little made-up movie. You throw out the title. We'll build a custom movie around it.
Yes, it is time for that.
In a world where titles are many and plots are few.
Bad angle.
Only one man can take your movie names.
Bring it on.
And make them come to life.
What is going on?
Adam Carolla stars in Made Up Movie. These films are not yet films.
We have one up here that's familiar already and it's fresh on my mind because I just got back from the Pebble Beach Concourse d'Elegance. Eric?
Yeah, I got a movie title for you.
Throw it out.
Subterranean.
Yeah, I already made this movie. At least it's on cartoon form on the internet. I think Michael Narron.
Don't open! Yes.
Michael Narron already made it. If you go on his website, go on the net, you can find it. This is, and I was just there, beautiful, beautiful setting for a car show. There's literally $200 million worth of vintage automobiles all right up against the coast in Pebble Beach, right on the golf course, and no security. Few rent-a-cops. So the mastermind takes a vintage submarine, Soviet Union, mothballed submarine from the 80s, takes out all the warheads, clears it out, pulls right up onto the beach, cone opens, big clamshell cone in front of the clamshell opens, they load up all the cars, but one guy has stowed away in the trunk of the Duesenberg, and the action ensues. Again, I can't do it justice. You have to go on the internet to see this one. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks,
Dave. All right, buddy. Let's talk to John. John?
Hello.
What do you have for us?
Got a tropical fist.
Tropical fist.
Tropical fists. This seems like when we experience, we learn about a new form of fighting. Remember that picture about when the teacher goes back to high school and he teaches the miscreants the way of capoeira? And suddenly no one can defeat capoeira?
Yes.
This picture is a different kind of fighting altogether. Another exotic
Antonio
one.
Antonio Banderas. Stars.
Is he teaching in an inner city school trying to help the kids?
They slim down. Antonio Banderas. Stars.
But the inner city school is on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Right. And it's going to teach the kids discipline through tropical fisting.
Mm-hmm. They call him Howley. But he soon wins over the tough Samoan populace of the school.
The discipline, it's based on limbo.
And
one's ability to limbo.
They must go up against the rich, white, upper crust school, the Lord Fauntleroy School for albino hemophiliacs, who's dominated the sport for many years.
Yes, and the dean over there is James Spader, played by James Spader.
He's not only a dean, but he's a student. Student dean, they have player coaches.
And why are you hanging out with those punks from the loser school?
Those tropical fisters.
All right, let's try one more. Matt?
Yeah, about Day of the Gopher?
Day of the Gopher.
Ooh, I've got an idea.
What do you got?
Because it sounds like a spy movie whenever it has day, like Day of the Jackal. What if there's a guy like a craggy, old, recovering alcoholic like a Robert Redford, and he needs to come back. They need him to come back for a caper.
Yeah, they call him the Gopher because he goes underground.
Yes.
He goes that deep.
Yes. He's been underground for more than two decades.
Yeah.
Yes.
People the subterranean.
That's right.
And he has a love interest, Diane Lane.
Mm.
But he's got to win her back because back when he was drinking, he was no good for her. So he has to prove to her through this latest caper that he's worthy of her. But what's the caper?
And he's used his surveillance techniques to keep track on her. She's been dating other men. We use a still warm Walter Matthau. We use the corpse. This one actually stars the corpse. Better to get the corpse of an A-lister than a real-life C or D-lister is what
That's a good point.
Now, he has to go. You got to make it topical.
Right.
Either he's going into Cuba or maybe China.
Yeah, North Korea.
Or North Korea. He's going into North Korea, and he has to infiltrate, and he has to do it as he has to become Korean.
Right. And he's a gopher.
He goes underground. It's a metaphor.
Okay, he's not really digging.
It's a metaphor, but he's got to go in there, and he's got to get Kim Jong-il,
and
he's
got to
bring him back.
Does he get him?
What happens? Action ensues. I'll tell you that. That's what happens.
At some point,
what doesn't
Matthau's,
happen? That's the question.
Matthau's corpse gets in the way, and Redford takes him out with the tropical fist.
Yes.
Takes his head clean off.
All right. I think we need to regroup. We're running late. Do we have an outro?
No.
All right.
Those weren't good enough. Three perfectly good movie plots, just as good as Snakes on a Plane, if not better.
I'm sure they're being pitched as we speak. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Closer.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Man, Chuck, you know, you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, Well, you were, because that's about it. Lisa Loeb coming in tomorrow. Also, Andy Milonakis. We have Dave's Jerk List and a spirited round of Mr. Brightside. I want to thank Chuck Liddell and Rochelle Leah. Also, Mike Birbiglia for coming in this morning. And until next time, thank you. This is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.